This is Infection, the survival podcast. This show was recorded live on Saturday, March 11th, 2017, PAX edition.
Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of Infection Podcast. My name is Craig, your host. We are here live at PAX East 2017. Beside me, can shake his hand.
Finally,
Ryan
we're
with
touching.
An I Aldridge. Oh, well, it's TMI. We're here at PAX East 2017 in Boston, Massachusetts. And of course,
Landgun 44, Lance Gunner.
Our PR angel.
Hype man.
Hype man extraordinaire.
Hey, have you heard of Infection Podcast?
Dude, these guys are a big deal. You got time for a quick interview, right? Five minutes.
The ultimate hype man.
The best
we'll
line
set up right here, get out here. Back up, man.
Best line of the show, without a doubt. We go to meet Battlegrounds, right? Player unknown. We meet the player unknown.
The guy was awesome.
And Lance asks him, hey, have you watched the show? And he goes, I've seen it a couple of times. And Lance goes, so you're a big fan.
Yeah. That's great. Let's move on. Like, we just glazed right over it.
I think he liked it, too.
He was looking around. I was like, what? I didn't say that shit. It was funny.
All right. So, let's talk about PAX East. We're recording this Saturday night, 8 p.m.,
We're all done with the PAX East events.
Yeah, we did our PAX coverage. Brian and Lance are flying out in the morning. I'm going back home, and I guess it's good, right? Because we did everything we needed to do by 3 p.m. today.
I thought we did more.
We'd be wandering around aimlessly.
Yeah.
And like, who else can we interview? Like,
we
what else is there?
We started to talk to board game people. It got to the point where it was like, what, you know what I mean?
Dragon VR.
Phone app people.
Dude, that shit was cool. Like, you said you wanted to. Yeah, that was kind of a cool concept the guy had.
So we talked to a couple different people. And you'll expect these interviews to be coming up over the next couple of days and over the next week or so.
Yeah.
Highlights, of course, was Player Unknown. It was cool to be able to talk to the Player Unknown from Battlegrounds.
And he was really awesome. You'll really like the interview. He was really awesome to talk to. Very laid back. Gave us some really good information. He was one of the ones who was more open.
He was so chill with you guys. It was very open.
And you didn't feel like... One thing you'll find when you go to these interviews is you'll have the developers are like, oh, well, I can't tell you that. You know, oh, that's a secret.
Let's talk about that next.
Yeah, like some of you guys saw already. Yeah.
And then you got the other developers that just, maybe the decision hasn't made. Or they're saying, you know what, that's something that we have been, like, we sat down with Firewatch. And they discussed a game. They said they're going to be doing another game. But, of course, they're not going to be like, oh, well, we'll give you the first inside scoop. You know, we haven't told anybody, but we'll tell you guys.
Well,
you
but Infection Podcast. Because the hype man is like, oh, hey, come on.
We didn't realize you were such a big deal.
We only gave them swag, you know what I'm saying?
And so, you know, with them, it's like, okay, that's understandable. But then we go to something late. Okay, so Nick, I said, well, why don't we just watch the live stream?
No. This is not how it went down. Let's be honest. So last night. We actually met up with Infected Heisenberg at Boston Burger Company, which was by far the best
delicious
hamburger
burger.
I've ever had.
Well, we'll get into some more on that in a minute.
Yeah, the milkshakes are unbelievable. Lance,
I think it's good. It was awesome. Reviewed. AAA. What were you talking about before? Just go back around on track.
Yeah, so,
we're getting the weeds a little bit.
So we met up with Infected Heisenberg, and also last night was the Friday the 13th panel. So we were like, hey, you know, we're going to be able to make time. Our Lyft driver was terrible. I don't even remember his name, like Ricardo or something like that. Screw
Andre.
Yeah, he was just putting out his name on the internet. Like,
it was Andre.
Yeah,
you get Andre.
Something like that. He's terrible.
He got his number, put it in the
show notes. Yeah, it'll be in the show notes, infectionpodcast.com. But we went out to dinner with Heisenberg, and we were concerned that we wouldn't be able to make the PAX panel. It's crazy here. There's, you know, they're packing tens of thousands of people into this convention center. So Brian... Middle of the week says, Nick, we don't need to go to the Friday the 13th panel.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
watch
rather,
it on Twitch.
Let's go out with one of our people that watch the show, and I'd rather go do that, which is a good answer, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather go do that than go to this PAX, because it's going to, this Friday the 13th thing, because it's going to be streamed.
And we did also get the press release 2.5 hours before the thing even started.
Yes.
It's funny because, like, I agreed with Nick wholeheartedly at first. I was like, no, nah, man, everyone wants to see that. It's a big, big thing. Our community really liked it. Let's go do this shit. And then now I completely side with Brian. We should have watched this shit on TV, recorded it, checked it out this morning.
We could have just watched Discord and people be like, oh,
they
man,
saw
this
it. Like, these guys were streaming.
So if we want to go into this quickly without, like, shots fired at Friday the 13th, because hopefully one of them is going to come on the show.
So we don't want to totally destroy the opportunity.
No, but
they,
I mean,
they did take the information.
This is kind of the issue I have with it, is first of all, they held it super late at night, which was fine, right? If they were going to do some, like, crazy reveal at 10:30 at night, that would have been, like, epic, right?
Why are you going to tell everybody to come out at 10:30 at night unless you had something?
Well, and that was kind of my thing. They showed the new... They showed the
final Jason.
And it was up close. That was kind of... That was cool. See, like, right
yeah,
up on the shit.
That was cool. Okay. But, like, the issue I had was, for example, some lady in the crowd asked, what is your favorite finishing move? And the one guy literally answered, my favorite finishing move isn't in the game yet.
And he says he won't even tell you what his favorite one because
lied to you. He could have
he could have said, you know, there's that's one that's coming up that's really cool. It's a very unique one, and it is my favorite. You'll see it soon.
He should have said the name of it.
Chat's pointing out that they actually did say there will be big reveals on Reddit, like they said that. So
but why
like,
not reveal it at PAX?
Yeah, so that was the other thing too. They didn't have a booth, which I thought was interesting.
I felt a little weak. I really would like to have seen a booth.
Yeah,
that would have been cool. But...
And they obviously have the money. Like, let's be realistic. There was a lot of people who purchased this game on Kickstarter. This game raised a boatload of money on Kickstarter.
I think all three of us have purchased this game.
Yeah, so that's they raised the money. That wasn't a problem. So with that being said, it was just definitely frustrating for them to be, oh hey, you know. Soon trademark like
okay so Nick is listening and Nick's kind of getting aggravated because he's getting louder and louder during this you started like yelling you started yelling in the middle of this
people
are starting to turn around and look. I'm like, Nick,
no way. I was
promise it is on video. I'm probably
yep.
And so
you hear me in the back.
I can't believe
I just heard that and everybody started to turn around like, who's this guy yelling in the back of the theater?
I have a press badge. It's okay, right? I mean, just have.
And so they say soon. He's like, soon, trademark. And then right after that, they go, soon, TM.
Yeah, like not more than 30 seconds later.
Oh, it was 5 seconds after you said it.
But that was kind of my issue. The whole idea was, hey, come out at 10:30 at night. It's Friday the 13th. It's kind of grungy. Now, they did show that video of all the new takedowns. Holy hell, was that like epic?
Dude, what
that was bad.
What was the coolest
one? Dude, that spike through the head.
So the one where he grabs, he like spikes it in the ground.
Yeah, that's the one.
And
then
he puts, slides it down onto it.
That was pretty cool. But again, I just don't think 10:30 at night on Friday was necessarily the best place to do
it. What time did the show close?
6 p.m.
You could get on the floor, it was done.
Yes.
So you called all these people all the way back.
1.5 hours later. Yeah,
there were the Twitch parties going on, there's people drinking. Like, you called them all the way across town at 10:30 at night during a blizzard.
And that's what they opened it with. Like, okay, yeah, we understand that you could be doing... Okay, so here's a part of the problem. He starts it out with, we understand that you could be going to the Twitch party, you could go to the bar, you're in Boston, it's prime time, you could be doing anything you want to do. And you made the poor decision to come hang out with us. And the problem is, that could be a funny joke.
But it ended up being
100% true by the end. That it's like, and it's not, okay, they did reveal things, but why did they fly three people out there?
Well, I get the whole point of having them out there was to like mingle around. Like, here's the thing, that's a community event, right? Like, that's part of communities to be like, again, there was a lot of people there.
But maybe booth is too expensive.
There was a decent amount of people there.
We
turned behind us and I was like, wow, there's like 7-10 rows of people behind.
There were people who were
side,
there
yeah.
because of the game. There were people there because of all the movies. And there were hardcore fans. Were like, you remember that one time in Part 7 where you got killed?
Oh, I had no idea.
Are you going to put that in the fans? They're like,
whoa, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So how many? Yeah, they're bringing up very specific cases of specific movies and specific actors and specific kills and specific. I've not seen all the shows.
We were too casual for the Friday the 13th, but it was pretty hardcore. If you were like super into Friday the 13th, I think it was great, right? But I think we're filthy casual.
See, but we're looking for the game itself, so when they sit there and be like, "Well, we can't really tell you about the game," right? I think the people that are super super fans of this whole IP, they're more likely to enjoy just the fact that they got to talk to them. Like, that was their pleasure.
Yeah.
For us, it's like, well, we don't really care. You know, it's great that we come in here and talk, but we're not learning what we want to learn out of this.
And hopefully, we do have the opportunity to have somebody from Friday the 13th on the show. I just don't think... The panel definitely didn't live up to... And then the QA, like, I get it. Like, people want to ask questions and all. Some of these stupidest questions.
Well... Like, there's a stupid question, Nick. These people needed these things answered. You know what I'm saying?
There was just some, like...
They should have been game-related. Like, specifically, we're talking about the game.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. You know what I mean? Like, not what was your favorite part from the movie and part of this. Like,
yeah, what's your favorite... In all of the films, what is your favorite takedown? Okay, that's fine. But if it's not
in
the game...
And that was kind of cool. But no, but I guess...
But why wouldn't you put that takedown in the game? Say, well, okay, actually, we incorporated my favorite kill in the game.
We can't
and
tell
this
about
one.
That, so.
But, of course...
Can't tell her.
Now, is it the one that he talked about? I don't even remember it because he was saying, "Oh, there's, I don't even know all the kills." Yeah. These guys knew all the kills.
Gotcha. All
right, yeah, so, they were more hardcore.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We were filthy casual in that situation. I guess it just didn't make sense for us to be there. But
I mean,
it was still fun.
The new Jason. We learned a few things, but I think we were just
and
we
made
were
good
aiming
content,
for a lot
right?
More.
Like this was kind of our whole thing of going into PAX East was let's talk to people, let's put a name or in a face to Infection Podcast, not just. Another moron sending emails. Can I have a code to your game? Will you come on my podcast? Which is like, I'm sure that's all these people get.
Yeah.
So I guess if somebody from Friday the 13th comes on our show, mission accomplished, right? We could have sat there for 3 hours and it would have been worth it. But
if that happens, that'd be cool.
So hopefully something comes of that.
But what did you guys think about all that? The reveal was obviously for the new Jason, you know, outfit. So what did you guys think about it overall? Did you like it?
It was cool.
I thought it was cool too because the burning eyes thing. Like you look out in the distance, she comes through the woods, you're gonna be like, oh damn! And then,
man,
it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. I haven't heard that sound in since the beta.
Know,
and I was,
right?
Oh, there it is. It's coming.
Well,
back.
With the Q&A, there were a few questions and. New maps. We did get some things answered. I mean, we may have not liked the answers, but we got some things answered. Of okay, they're going to have multiple maps. You know, how soon until they do this? When is the game coming out? I mean, we were able to figure that out. We didn't know that beforehand. Nick, this is where Nick started getting loud. Was when he said when are you going to be releasing the map? And he said, well, the beginning of 2017. And he says,
it's
and
March
I,
10th.
And he's like, I, but I break up beginning, middle, and end of year. So technically, the first 4 months is the beginning of the year. And this is where Nick goes, oh my.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I remember exactly what I said.
Yeah. He got super crazy about
I said,
that.
I said,
April was really the beginning. They were like, what are you talking about?
I believe my sex was like, that's bullshit. Like,
that's what I think that is
exactly
what you said.
What I said. You also should have said
very,
said
very loudly
here,
he yelled this.
I just, what kind of, in any game, any pet, what kind of answers? Oh, the way I see early 2017.
See, this is
August.
Interpretation.
It's like, well,
that's not right.
Yeah,
see, this is where you should have said, hey, mate, we were aiming for March, but you know what? It's going to be April. You know, and I'm sorry that we were aiming for that, but we have some things with, because he explained them later, getting it accepted on different consoles or whatever it is. Just say, you know what? It's pushed us out a month, but we're still releasing. Rather than saying, well, here's a technicality of why it's actually the beginning of the year.
Well, how about this? Why not just release it on the PC first? Like, there's no PC certification. That game's already on Steam.
Yeah.
It was already on Steam. We played the open beta, the closed beta on Steam.
They don't have any kind of exclusivity to console, right? They're just...
That's what I'm saying. If it's going to take... let's say the game's supposed to come out in March, right?
Yeah.
It gets delayed 3-4 months. Just release it March on the PC. This is common.
That
would have been
tight.
There's a lot of games that do that.
See, and they could have treated the release as a special thing for PC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big reveal. And they'll get some people that aren't... They're big fans. They don't want to really wait for the PS4. They don't want to wait for the Xbox release. So they'll turn around, they'll buy it on PC anyways, and then when it comes out on PS4 or Xbox, they'll buy it there as well. They would have gotten more sales, and people probably wouldn't have been so upset, but they would have said, hey, you know, rather than delay, we want to get it in your hands as soon as possible, because we promised we would do it now, and people would be forgiving of the fact that they don't have it on console yet.
Yeah.
Do you think they caught a lot of flack from, like, people bitching about it coming having a beta on PC? I was listening to some of the guys that here in the panel are talking about it. They were like, dude, people were probably freaking out because did they get a
they said
a
they were getting
the
death threats
and
the
PS4?
No, it was just PC.
Ooh, I bet they got
but
mad
I bet,
heat for that.
I don't think you can just have a beta on PlayStation
right.
And
it
Xbox.
Be
I'm sure that is
because
a
there's so
crazy
but that's the thing
thing.
Is there's so many things that they like he had spoken at the end.
Certifications
of when people have weird peripherals plugged into their
Xbox or PS4. I didn't even
think about that, right?
Yeah,
people will get a damn Guitar Hero. Shouldn't we talk about
what about a dance pad? Plug it in. Exactly. People do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And so he had explained, and that's the thing is I think they kind of tried to backtrack a little bit. He tried to explain it a little bit too much. If he had just said, you know what, they test for the smallest details and just gone into a little bit of it. And so that's why it's being delayed. Rather than he kept on going back to it, which makes you even kind of look at it as kind of an excuse.
Yeah. Well, and then that was the other thing that kind of upset me. And then we'll get off this topic. He's like, well, we're not making excuses, but here's an excuse. And we're not making excuses, but here's another excuse. And it's like, well,
quit saying you're not making excuses or quit making them. You don't
pick a side. I really dislike that whole... I'm guilty of this sometimes. Like, oh, that's not an excuse. When, like, damn well, it's an excuse. Like, you're literally, like, it's just, like, it's such a cop-out.
Well, sometimes that's all you have to say, but you want to preface it because you don't want it to be that. But that doesn't change the fact that it is an excuse, right? I don't know what you're saying, yeah. It is what it is.
So, let's get off this. What did we like from the show? How about this? What did we see that wasn't survival that we were, like, super crazy about on the show floor?
Super crazy about?
Okay. Yeah, like, what did we see that was like, oh, that's awesome, but, like, it's not us. Like,
okay,
it's
so, the one that we saw that we'll get into in a little bit that I had played, that one was kind of survival. So we'll save that. So that's not the... I wouldn't say that that is one, but that was probably one of my favorite.
What was the name of the game? You gotta tell me what you're talking about.
So this was the Darwin Project.
Yes.
So let's go into this a little bit, and then that'll give you some time to think about, you know, what maybe your favorite things were. So I went and played a game called the Darwin Project, and these developers, first of all, were so stoked to talk to us.
We had there's a picture of our camera rig on Twitter. We had a massive camera rig, right?
Yeah.
We're rolling three deep. We got the shirts. We got the media badges. We're all ready to go.
It looked legit. People were like, oh, yo, who's... It was
so cool. So we go up, and initially we just are passing by them, and we see them playing this game. We didn't think too much of it. And so we talk to them for a few minutes, and they're just really friendly. You know, they were asking about us. We were asking about them. We gave them our cards and, like, thank you, Green Man. We got so many compliments on those business cards.
Yeah, man, those cards were hot.
Everybody loved. Cards. I mean, they loved the drawings, and they just said, "This is the best card I've seen at PAX."
They were turning around showing other people. They're like, "Yo, check this card out! Look, it's him and it's him, and that cool." Like, that was really.
Yeah, we had the guy at the end when Brian was on there. He's like, "Which one is Nick and which one is Brian?" You're like, "Guess."
Was he serious or was he pulling my leg?
I don't know. I mean, we look totally different.
I'm like, look at him, dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
One's got the beard and one doesn't. One's got, like, something going on, one doesn't.
I didn't tell him either. I was like, you're going to figure that out. Look, you know, I mean, look at the picture.
Yeah. And so we came back because we kind of watched a little bit of their playing, but didn't, I think, fully appreciate what the game was yet.
For sure.
And so we came back the next day. We set up. First of all, the guy is so nervous to talk to me. Because he's just looking at me. The English was not so good, but this is a game that has no publisher. These are just the developers. They've been developing it for 6 months. And I can just see it in his eyes, the terror, as he's getting ready to talk to me. And the excitement. Like, he's kind of going back and forth. And he just has that
But not look. Everybody's comfortable on camera, right?
As not everybody's comfortable.
As we well know.
So, like, yeah, we'll talk about that.
So I can tell that he's kind of, like, really nervous. But then I can see in his eyes, like, he's anticipating this.
Oh, they
very
were
much.
Stoked, yeah.
Yeah, he was really happy. And so I interviewed one of the head developers and pretty much the founder. And then they let me play the game afterwards. And the game, the spectate cam
mode.
Was spot on, spotless. I mean, it worked perfect. The game, we'll go into, we talk about the game a little bit, so I'm not going to...
Yeah, we'll do more of this in-depth stuff on the next episode of Infection.
Because we have it to where I actually ask them about the game and the developers themselves tell you about the game. So I don't want to go into that too much. But the game was just so much fun to play, and people were gathering around this little studio. I mean, it's just one of the ones in the corner.
This was like the smallest booth you can buy.
The smallest booth you can buy.
How big it is, like what... 10 by 8 by 8. 8 by 8 or something like that.
And when we're sitting there and doing the interview and we're playing this game, like, people start to form around this booth.
We had
a
massive crowd.
So we got a huge crowd. So, I mean, just us giving it the attention, a little bit of attention, brought all these people in.
I noticed this I said something to you this morning. We were recording at a booth, and there was nobody at the booth.
Yeah.
We set up our camera, Brian's doing an interview, and then it's just... like two or three guys standing over here, and a guy standing over here, and they're just mesmerized by the camera.
Yeah,
it's the fucking light that you got, bro. You're telling people, like, dude, what's going on? Let's go see this.
It's as bright as a football stadium.
There's a supernova.
But it's just funny. It's just funny how people see the camera and they're like, oh, well, that's got to be something cool. Like that. I mean, like, if this game sucked, like, nobody would be talking about
it. And this is why. This is why I think these developers, like, they'll kind of seek you out. They realize that if they can get, and like we were walking around the camera, we had one guy pretty much come out and find us and bring us back to the booth. Because they realize if they can get us to set up and treat them seriously, just that people kind of following the crowd, people being sheep.
That's literally what
we actually said. They said this earlier. Well, I don't remember, you guys both said it, but people are sheep.
We're talking. We went in this morning. It was 12 degrees. We woke up this morning. It was 11 that's degrees so in bad Boston. But it's the truth, right? So we wake up. We get to the thing, and they've got the metal like police gate set up in a zigzag, getting up to the metal detectors on the left and the right, and then on the middle, there's just no one. So we just walk right through the middle. Nobody says a goddamn word, and we just get right in. And all these other people are freezing their asses off at like 10 o'clock.
So we purely just. I mean, we learned that if you don't ask, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Like, you just act like you're important, or you act like you're supposed to be there.
But you got to consider how many people they're dealing with. So when someone does something like that, especially when we are wearing all logo shirts, right? I mean, that's
how about them
legit.
Not checking the badges? That was the most...
How about her not checking the bottom of my bag? She literally opened it, looked, dude, like, ooh, man.
But you think about it, right? This is such a big event. Even, now, obviously, we had the media passes, but Jake, who was at the show yesterday, said... They didn't even check my badge. Yeah. I could have just had like a piece of plastic. I mean, you know, obviously, to an extent, that's pretty crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. And they're dealing with that's the thing is they're just trying to direct people.
But the first time you try it without that badge, get arrested.
Or... We're like, we could bring Heisenberg in, and then we'll lose our media badges. That'd be great.
Yeah,
we tried to talk you into it. Yeah.
We did also. We almost had quite a disaster Friday morning. With the tripod.
Okay.
So we're standing in line to get into the show an hour early for media. I put my camera on the tripod, and the tripod, like, tips... Like, the head of it tips over, and the camera becomes loose.
Starts to fall.
And it was in slow motion, right? Did you see it in slow motion? Because my life was in slow motion.
Yeah, I saw it, and I was like...
I was like, oh, no.
It was too far for me to grab, so I was like, oh, damn.
And I grabbed the strap.
Yep.
But like my
and they just smashed it whoosh, and grabbed that shit. I was like, thank God, because that was an expensive looking camera. Like, I don't know.
That was my boss's camera too. Yeah. So we almost had that. But we did get a lot of great video, a lot of great interviews, and
we did a few interviews that weren't totally survival related.
Yeah, like Lance did one not survival related. You talked to
I wouldn't call it an interview. But what? So, but let's tell somebody what can we expect? Like, what else did we? What did we get? We got you got to talk to from Dead by Daylight.
Right? Okay, so we talked about Firewatch, Dead by Daylight. We did Conan.
By the way, with Conan, we were able to speak with Jens Eric again, which is super cool, right? Yeah. We've already talked to him.
I mean, they offered to have us. They offered to have us talk to lead designer, and we were like, no, we're going to talk to Jens. So
And he was totally cool. He was like, yeah, I'll grab you real quick.
Well, and I guess it had to do with the questions I was asking were more community questions.
And he knows
what
he's already talked to us about.
Yeah. So actually, this was super cool. The Conan booth had these comic books. How many comic books did they
have? These are legit comics. These are not. This is not a piece of trash. It's like promotional this and that. This is like a legit.
It's an actual Conan.
Full length, high quality, like nice heavyweight paper.
Thousands of them sitting out.
Yeah, they had. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just have boxes and boxes and boxes. So we grabbed a fat stack. He actually grabbed it and was like, "Here, go give this to your community. You give this to the guys." And so that was cool. So we've got a bunch of those that you guys can distribute later.
Yeah, so we'll try to get those.
That was cool.
Talked to Elite Dangerous.
Elite Dangerous, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then we did another... Like,
Osiris?
Osiris
new, the new Dawn?
New Horizon?
No. Osiris the new Dawn.
Okay.
Quake Champions?
Yeah. That was, I think, the most off... Topic.
It was completely off topic.
It was super cool,
playing,
right?
Yeah. Dude, I thought it was cool.
How about their booth?
They probably had one of the best booths as far as...
I mean,
so Bethesda was giving out shirts to every single...
Blizzard Blizzard's booth was sucked.
Blizzard
did not have a booth.
So Blizzard was there, and it said Blizzard. So you go over there thinking, okay,
it's not a booth.
Maybe I'm going to talk to someone from Blizzard. And no,
and then you see merch.blizzard.com. Merch.blizzard.com,
and it's purely just a store to buy Blizzard gear.
They had the Tracer statue there you could buy, though. They had the backpacks. It was all Blizzard-related stuff, but it was only merchandise. Which I thought was kind of a weird...
But they do BlizzCon, right? And that's where they do their own stuff. And that even happens, look at Nintendo. They don't do anything at E3. They do their own things. They do their own...
I mean, BlizzCon is where they're going to release any new information.
Because they control the message, right? You're the message.
But why does Blizzard just wanted a presence there? Because so many people... What was the most...
Those bags.
Okay,
but
what was the costumes and the cosplay that you saw the most at this?
90% of all cosplay was Overwatch. And it was interesting.
And they didn't even have a booth there other than selling stuff.
Yeah, but the cosplay community came out in number, just droves for this stuff. Did you see, there was a Reinhardt?
Mercy.
He had an 8 foot tall. It was nuts.
Go on Lance's Twitter. It's Lan_gun.
Correct. Lan_gun.
You'll see this. By the way, he just followed us on Twitter like this afternoon.
Yeah. Thanks.
Here we go. Look.
Like, this guy was massive. And they had, like, security walking him and his homies around.
Hey,
it was pretty
talking,
cool. Was pretty
I'm
cool.
going to just submit these photos back on... Some of them have already been dealt with Discord. But we're talking, I'll just throw it to the community so the guys can see it.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was interested. There wasn't as much cosplay as I was thinking.
Yeah.
Again, Saturday I've never been to a PAX, right?
And there's kind of a mixture. So there's people that are very loosely cosplay that you don't really take seriously. There's kind of... odd people walking around.
Bro. You can use the word garbage.
You know, I mean, very strange cosplay of people putting on an outfit and it not being anywhere near the level.
Kind of like Halloween. Like, you just kind of like grab what's in your house and like are like, hey, I'm a DJ. Whatever I am. Like, you just grab like some like weird funky glasses and a hat and like there's your cosplay.
Yeah, and some very random like things I've never even heard of. Really off the wall. It's like
there was anime there. There was, you know, like modern cartoon stuff. Like some people like Bob's Burgers, right? There was, you know, I mean, there's relevant stuff there. There was, you know, the odd stuff where there was mashups. We saw an Assassin's Creed Link from Legend of Zelda, which was crazy concept, but it was really well done. He had like a green hood on, and it kind of looked like the Assassin's Creed gear. But he had like the emblem from Ocarina of Time on his chest and a sword. Like, it was really dope, and there was some really neat stuff. But by far, it was Overwatch. And it's interesting because it wasn't just the main character from Overwatch, so there might not just be a standard Mercy, which there were plenty of them. There would be the variants of those costumes as well. Like, people were even getting into their favorite color of Mercy, and they would imitate that to the nines. And so that was really well done, I thought. You know,
but Blizzard has got themselves such a cash cow on
the cosplay community.
But, like, in general, just, like...
But imagine if they sold the props, like, you know what I'm
saying? But here's the thing. All of the people dressing up, right? You got to imagine these people have probably spent money on the game buying... Can't you buy keys or something? Can't you buy, like, the... crates or something? Can't you buy something in Overwatch?
Let alone the number of sales, because this is something I pointed out once we started seeing this. I said, how many, like, look at all these people here. Massive amount of people. They're probably 90%, if you kind of separate the board game, there'd be maybe probably a lot of board game people. Separate the board game part of it. But probably 90% of the people here own Overwatch.
Yeah, man.
Maybe 80 to 90%, which is a huge amount. And there's probably not another game in there that higher percentage owns.
Right.
I can't think of another game that most people would own at that place. And Overwatch was definitely... But it's Blizzard. I mean, that's one of the only companies that can handle... And we don't even know the numbers.
No.
You know, what are the numbers behind Overwatch? We have no clue, but it probably dwarfs any of the PC games that we talk about other than that.
Probably. Definitely smashes them.
They don't talk about it. They don't need to.
But it's also, you know, it also should be brought up that, you know, it's not only that people love that game and they want to imitate it. Their characters are so well designed. Their continuity is all there. Mm-hmm. Everything is really well done, and it's geared toward cosplay. Yep. It's not an incredible amounts of detail. You know, it's kind of like big and chunky parts, bright, vivid colors. You know, There are thin characters, heavy set characters, you know, male, female. There's robots. There's, you know, crazy looking guy, the Junkrat looking dude. There are big fat guys. There was a Roadhog. There was at least
I saw a Roadhog with his thing on his stomach. He painted a full, and it was high quality. Yeah.
The community always blows. Like, I don't dress up, but man, every time I see that stuff, I'm just like, somebody's going through so much trouble just to play that part for this one day, you know, and so. I think it's just a really interesting part of the community.
According to PCGamesN.com, as of January of 2017, they have 25 million copies of this game sold. That's crazy, right?
Yep. 25 million. How many active players,
how many people do they have playing WoW? What, and only like...
That number's... That,
there's a lot of people.
No, playing. It was like 10 or 11 million.
But if you looked at, like, if you looked at how many people... But if you looked at how many people own WoW...
Oh,
that's gotta be crazy.
But that's the thing. That's with Overwatch, though... It's not that it's not old enough that where if you own it, like, you're probably casually playing it every once in a while, right? Like, it's not like it's a 15-year-old game. You're like, oh, I owned Overwatch. It's the game hasn't been out that long. It's been out, what, a year?
No, yeah. Right, yeah. So, and it's also getting that constant attention, you know? They're fixing to release a new character, another, like, anchor tank, so that's...
And the thing, the game works seamlessly. Like, you never hear, oh, I'm running into this constant bug.
Never. Nope.
With Overwatch, it just Overwatch works.
It's got so much polish.
Blizzard polishes those games
till they shine. Yep. That's good.
And so that's the thing, is you look at a game like that, and why wouldn't you play it? Like, when I was like, why wouldn't I buy it?
Yeah.
Because when people play it, you can jump in, you can play games, and you never have problems with hackers that you know about. Like, I've never run in and say, oh, that was a hacker.
Ignorance is bliss, right?
I mean, there may be hackers in there,
comes to hackers,
but you don't even notice. Like, you just go and you have fun. You can play as long as you want. When we do it for Friday night game nights, it's great.
Yep.
And then you can stop playing for a while, and there's no loss. There's right. no, like, we have to play it. We have to keep these characters up. We have to maintain our base.
Right. When you jump, oh, Jesus. Then when you jump back in, you know, your buddies are all level 80, and you're still level 10. And you
yeah, like it's just, do you want to jump in? All the, that changes their skins.
No, it's great. It's a great well-designed game, man. But Bethesda had a massive boost there. They were showing off Prey, which we didn't really get to go see a lot of, you know what I mean? But the
Quake Champions was
tight if you guys like first-person shooters. I know that some of the guys in our communities are big into that, but I mean, it felt like the old-school Quake. It was nice, it was fast, twitch shooter, it was old-school, it was a breath of fresh air, because I haven't seen anything like that in a while. The only thing that would have come up even close is the new game from whatever, Lawbreakers. That looks like it's a twitch shooter. You know what I'm saying? It's a little low gravity, lots of double jumps and things like that. But everybody who played Quake Champions got to sport one of these. Check that out. That's tight.
And show me the other side.
Literally, if we're going around being like, hey, what size do you wear? What size do you wear? There was no shortage.
Every single person
that even tried it got a t-shirt. And I thought that was crazy. And
so going into PAX, we did a couple calls pre-PAX as groups. We're like, we are going to have so much merch. You're going to get tired of having merch. And we get there, we're like, God damn, nobody's got it. We can't even find a bag. You paid for that bag. You're a taxpayer. That's some college bag.
We got it on the way out. We got some university at wherever bag.
So we're going along, and that's the thing is, I'm used to at any kind of a conference, or especially when you are...
What the fuck is that?
Southern New Hampshire University.
It looks like we brought it with us.
So that's the thing is, we're looking at, like, where can we find a bag? And he finds Southern Hampshire University, New Hampshire. That's what he finds. It's like, okay.
Hey, man, hey,
but
we're giving
going into this, I was used to, with conferences, especially being media, mm-hmm. you'd go in there and people would be just head over heels to hand you stuff. Like, take stuff. Yeah, let me give you a bag to carry all that stuff, because you're walking around. You've got a bag that has their logo, and you're walking everywhere around there. Random little places, you couldn't even find a bag. Like, it took us all day to find a bag to be able to carry, and it was a small little bag.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it helped.
Whatever, we may do, you know what I mean?
But that was one big thing I was kind of surprised about at this conference. There was not... The only person who offered us a pen was Newegg.
Well, let's talk about that. Lance, so Friday morning... We had up to the Newegg meeting room upstairs.
Yeah.
And you had a chance to do some VR. What was that like?
Okay, I haven't tried VR since, like, the 90s, okay? So the VR, the new wave of VR that we've seen in the last couple of years, I haven't been on board with any of it. The Samsung stuff, the headsets, especially the Oculus. I was really excited to try it out. And to be honest with you, it was the most immersive experience that I've ever had in gaming. I mean, it was, you're literally there. I mean, I don't know, could you guys see on the TV what I was seeing?
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, you look up, you look around, and it was just cool because of the way that I was constantly concerned that I was going to walk into something. I couldn't tell at all what part of the room I was in, whether mm-hmm. I was facing north or south. But as you would walk toward an edge, the sensors would automatically, as you got close to what it perceived to be the boundary, it would put up a grid, like it would just start to kind of fade in, and you'd be like, oh, okay, I need to back up. So the way they handled motion was you would point to a little like reticle on the ground and click, and you would teleport to that location. That's a little immersion breaking because it's not like you're just walking around an actual 3D world.
I don't know how they're going to get around that, though.
No one's figured it out yet, right? So yeah. So that's going to be a challenge, but the visual, the aesthetic of just being able to look around and move your hands and open and close them. Like, I could reach down and pull stuff on my belt, pick things up, put them on my belt. I can shoot, like, man, that was the best feeling. The only thing I can say that would have improved it or if those things vibrated or snapped. A snap yeah. would be even better.
But there's no haptic feedback on those?
Nope.
Yeah, nope. That's a problem.
Nothing, yeah.
So you at least have a sensation of something is happening.
But it felt so good when I shot and it went right over a zombie's shoulder. And I was like, man, I'm shaking a little bit. And you could just get a bead on it and pop, pop. And it was really tight. Yeah. Super satisfying. That's the only way I can put it. And also, it was really neat to go over. There was a spot where, I don't know, I was walking through like a desert kind of environment. And there was a zombie that was sitting in a chair. And he had like this weird growth on him and stuff. And you could go up and like, you can just get close. And it doesn't get, they're really high quality models. So it doesn't get like blurry and pixelated or distorted. You can actually like get down on the ground and look up and look all around this thing. And you're actually investigating something. You know, it must look super weird because you guys are like, what's this clown on the floor? You know
yeah,
what I'm
he's,
saying?
Yeah, he's all like getting low
and
looking
at it. I was like, dude, that stuff's about to drip off this zombie. Oh, it's crazy, you know?
And we're not seeing the detail that he is, so we're just seeing him
very
like.
Amazing. Yeah, because I had peripheral, like you guys, you saw it flat on the screen, right?
Yeah, it was small too. Like we were
But the
so
peripheral
far away.
That I could see, you know, it wasn't teary, it wasn't laggy, it wasn't like a frame skip. I was very impressed with the actual feel of it. But it's, you know, it's like we had discussed earlier. How many times can you replay that game, right? So I think once they bring the games to the market, you know, when it gets to be like we're open world and we're all running around the zombie apocalypse together doing that shit, be like, oh, watch out, bah, 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 shooting over each other's shoulder. That's one of the things. We're not there yet. We won't be for a while.
And part of that problem is it's not just the games themselves. It's that the market share is so low because unless you've got a badass gaming PC, a decent-sized room and $700 for a Vive or some Oculus.
And a very understandable other half.
Yeah, or yeah. No other half at all.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's... It's such a small market that I would imagine... Like, let's say, hey, you're an indie game studio.
Yeah.
Are you going to develop a game for such a small group of people with such a limited market share or develop just a regular game for everybody? You have to be all in and say, you know, we think VR is going to be the future. Let's put all of our eggs in this VR basket and hope something happens, right?
Yeah.
You can't be both. You're either VR or you're not.
Well, there's too many that try to cross over. And so, you know, you'll have some game that's maybe not made for VR that they're then like, oh, it's VR compatible. But it's not tailored for that. So
right,
you're not getting the bonus.
Well, right. If you look, it's half-assed VR. I believe it was a Batman game. We talked about this on the Crummy Show a while ago for the PS4.
I didn't see the Crummy Show. I must have missed that.
It was some superhero game, one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of the cutscenes were VR, but the regular game was not.
What are you supposed to put a headset on? You all set up and watch the cutscene.
If I'm remembering correctly, it was something like that. Like the gameplay was not VR. They're like the cutscenes and shit were VR, which made absolutely no sense. It was like useless.
Yeah.
Absolutely useless, like a hybrid.
But but to its credit, I could not wipe the grin off my face. It was so cool to be in a video game, and you were. It's like, you know, we're all gamers. We've been gaming for our whole lives, right? And so actually to step in there and be like, wow, I'm completely immersed in this. This is legit now. You know what I mean? That was a really, really interesting experience, and you kind of can see where they're going to take it, right? Like the only direction it has, but. How long will it take to get there and will it catch on? And you're right, you have to almost build a whole room in the corner of your garage for this shit. It's nuts.
Okay, so what if it's not necessarily VR itself that's the future? What if it's headsets that just give you a full amount of monitor? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they're trying to take it too fast. What if they back up a little bit and you're putting on a headset so it's equivalent of having as much monitor as you want to have.
Well, I think there are. I think you can do that.
Yeah, you can. But I'm saying that's not that everybody's pushing it to. Well, we have to do the games like this.
Is that an enjoyable experience for you?
What? I'd like to be able to sit in bed and maybe play a game. You know, and
okay. So let's walk this right. So in your bedroom now, you'd have to have a gaming rig.
But they have to get it small enough.
But
she's not gonna let you sit in bed with that shit on your head, bro. What do you think?
She's asleep. This
is the problem with VR, right? No. You want to play VR? You want to have a rig like that in your bedroom?
Yeah.
You have to have another gaming PC in your bedroom. You gotta have to have all your peripherals lined up. You've got this big ass cable.
But see, that's
on the
what
back
they
of your
not
head.
Laying down with that shit.
No,
of course.
That's
but
the
they
problem.
Need to get it down. But this is way future when they get it down to something that's more like you putting on some maybe big size glasses.
But Brian, we're 50 years away from that.
Not
being like
50.
A
well, 50.
But like, well, no. Who knows?
I don't know, the computer. How long ago was the computer really invented?
But that's no. But that's what I'm saying. Like we're nowhere near. We're nowhere
100
near.
100 years from now,
it's gonna be crazy.
We will have VR glasses.
We're nowhere near that, though. Like,
we'll still be live in 50 years. So
10 years from now, I think that you'll be surprised that maybe that's more common than you think.
Word on the street is Resident Evil 7 is nice with VR.
Only on the PS4, though. And that's a full VR experience, which is, I think, one of the first major games to say, let's do VR, let's do it right, and let's actually get something done.
Yeah.
But it's just not, it doesn't work. It's just like right, like VR right now doesn't work.
Chat completely agrees that 50 is an over exaggerated number, and then in 50 years we will actually be on Mars with space cars, so it's going to be much sooner, which is good.
So when we get on Mars, half the people
they said that in
Mars.
The '70s, and the '70s wasn't like the '70s would have been like 50 years.
You guys have all seen what the Back in the Future 2. Where the hell is my hoverboard? You know what I'm saying?
That stuff still doesn't happen. Yeah, we don't even have hoverboards yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But nevertheless,
I'm pretty disappointed about that shit.
And you actually, the box you were playing on, it was a Zotac PC, and that thing was pretty small. It was about the size of like a DVD player or something.
Dude, I don't know enough to have an intelligent conversation about that. I just know it was way too small for the shit he said was in.
Right?
The graphics card should have been that big. And the whole box was like this, so I don't know what's going on.
But that was a very limited experience. That game was not pushing the boundaries. Like, if you were to take a huge game like Resident Evil, that is a much more intensive, that is a big game. The one that he's putting in there is a very simulated, small environment. You went so far, and I don't know how much further that game really could have gone.
Yeah.
Else was there to it? Like, you're going around your feet, finding a few things. That's a small little scene they set up that's more just having you do menial tasks
I think you could have gone farther with it, but the not in
it's probably very
reload,
much a trap.
Brought that shit to a screeching halt. Like, there's zombies coming at you, and I picked up all the bullets that were scavenged around, right? But you're supposed to take the gun and put it close to
he was having an issue with reloading.
Yeah, I couldn't reload, and so zombies are coming. I'm like,
I kept saying,
man, I don't know, man.
Lance, you have to move. You have to move to the left. You have to reload to the left.
Did you
pistol
whip one?
No, I tried to smush his face. I couldn't do anything. All you could do is like this. So I'm like, the zombies fucking kill me. it was weird.
So I guess we'll see.
But it was cool. It was totally awesome. I would love to see. I would love to do it again.
Sure. I guess we'll just have to see where this goes and where this evolves. I would imagine in a couple of years, 3, 4, maybe 5 years, we'll have a better grasp on if this is going to actually do something in the marketplace.
I agree with you. And one thing that I thought was really interesting was the way that this was set up is they had sensors in two corners, which each one shot out 90 degrees, right? So it created a virtual box around you, and that box is the grid, right, that you would see.
That's
when
the
you
room size. Well, it's the grid, but also it determines the room size that you're able to play in.
Right, but that's scalable. They said you could bring it all the way down to a 3 or 4 foot box, 4 foot by 4 foot box, which is something you could kind of set up in the corner of a room provided you had the space. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't have to have green screens and curtains. It's just these two things set up. I mean, what if you had, you know, a marked area where you set them every time and they were in the same place and maybe you put them away? I think it's getting smaller. It's getting more compact. They'll figure it out, but it's going to be a couple of years.
Yeah.
But it felt super cool.
The only real VR that we even tried. There were other VR experiences at the conference.
Oculus had Oculus had half the convention center. It was like an Oculus setup.
And people were playing silly games, you know what I mean? Throwing oranges or whatever.
Yeah, the thing is, there were people on the ground, like, all going around and doing this crazy stuff, and it was just...
But that was getting those people to see, you know what I mean? It's bringing those people into where are we going to be with this. They're buying into it at that point, and that's really what they need. You know, they need the culture to come in and try and be like, yeah, I'm behind you on this, you know. Let's move in that direction. So it was interesting. It was cool. It was cool way to start the show.
Yeah.
So
And I got my prediction.
Yes.
You're gonna have to explain that, everybody. That's not.
Yeah. Should I grab it?
On infection.
You predicted you would. Go ahead and get it.
On the podcast, Brian is synonymous with.
Synonymous
with rash predictions, right?
Rash. These are very thought out. And
he's making crazy predictions, right? And we always say the
crazy.
Yeah, like for example, zombie or a cowboy open Western open world games are going to be the next thing, which he did legitimately say. I have a quote.
Yeah, no, I heard him say. Open they world. Heard him say that. He said that shit.
Yeah. So,
but he might be right about that. But
we'll say. We always talk about the black book, and we've never had a black book, but thanks to Newegg.
Newegg gave us a beautiful black book.
Leather bound, yeah.
So with predictions, with a nice sleeve to put papers in, it's beautiful. So this will be my prediction book.
Like legit, like we're gonna during the show note when I'll say something, you can already end and then write the prediction. We'll legitimately see that. Brian, is that in the book? It'd be flipping through mid. Yeah, so, that'll make for great radio. the page flips.
I still think when Red Dead Redemption comes out,
okay. When does that come out?
It's coming at the beginning of next year. So Red Dead Redemption is coming out at the same time they'll be releasing the second season of Westworld. Those two things together.
According to this, I just went on this blog. It's rumored to have a PC release, which is never.
We'll see. Red Dead game, that is a rumor.
PC. I mean, that's pretty neat.
And so I think that those two things tied together will do the same thing that The Walking Dead did for zombies. Right?
It's possible.
I mean, what drove the whole zombie movement, the whole pushing for zombies? That was The Walking Dead. That was 100% what it was. Mm-hmm. And right? I mean, can you think of anything else that did that?
It brought that to the forefront of our culture, right? Everybody don't know more of that show.
I think people are going to get so hyped about that whole thing. And we'll see where Westworld Season 2 goes. I mean, it's kind of hard to guess if they're going to kind of push it outside. I mean, that's kind of a speculation that we're not going to go into.
But we're not writing that down in the book.
No, we're not writing that down in the book yet. I think with Red Dead Redemption 2, I think that's going to be a really big hit. I think it's going to get people kind of hyped about that concept, and other people are going to play off of that. Well, you'll just see a bunch of games come with that.
Do you remember the first one? Red Dead Revolver? I bought the Xbox.
Yeah, for the Xbox. Yeah,
dude, I love that game. It's so tight.
So I bought a PS4 just to play Red Dead Redemption 2 and 1. And that's why I bought it.
And are they good?
I haven't played them yet.
Did you even buy them?
I'm waiting till a little bit closer so I can play through a bunch of Red Dead. Like 6 months or 7 months beforehand.
Oh, gotcha.
Before the next one comes out, so I can play enough and not feel like I have a huge. So I can kind of continue the story or continue playing it and feel like I didn't have a big break. So I've been playing other games right now. But that's the reason I got it. And I think that I've heard so many positive things about that game. I think that'll be a big thing. And we were talking about space. So, like Elite Dangerous, sat and interviewed them.
You actually interviewed the lead designer.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, it was big. Yeah,
man, we're a big deal. As I say, we are a big freaking deal.
So I interviewed.
As we can tell people.
I hate to brag, but I mean, what do you want me to do?
So I interviewed the lead designer of Elite Dangerous. The first thing is we came in, and they wanted to do, what's the other game that they have, like.
I don't know
theme park
Blockio or
no it was like theme park world or
roller coaster tycoon.
that's what I thought it was.
So, they had us down. We came a little. We were 15 minutes late. We came down and like they were like, oh, we have you down for Roller Coaster Tycoon or whatever it is. I'm like, no. I want to talk about Elite Dangerous. We're a survival podcast. We want to talk about Elite Dangerous. Yeah. They're like, oh, you can come back later. So I get to sit down. Very nice conversation.
Yeah.
With the lead designer for that. He gave us a lot of good information. But
good interview, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
And that was the thing, is with him, I was able to really kind of nerd out with him, and it wasn't a PR guy. I would run into talking to a PR guy, and he'd be like, whoa, wait, 1 minute.
Yeah.
And he'd go get a designer, because they realize I'm asking deeper questions.
The first technical question, they're like, they retreat right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good, right? Because
they need to understand their limits.
And that's the thing, is because our show is so specialized, and infection is such a niche, we can get into if we were a video game podcast, everything and anything, we wouldn't be able to get into that detail. We'd only care about the PR angle. But because we're so, I mean, we were at the show for 2 days. We interviewed 12 people. If we covered every video game, we'd have to be there for a week.
Yeah.
Going to every single booth. But so it's nice that we can do that.
Yeah, but we did cover all the survival stuff. Like, everything was there. We nailed it. You know,
the culling, which, by the way, no PR. Like, come on, guys. What the hell are you doing?
PR, yeah, that was weird.
We had no idea the culling was going to be there. Brian's talked about that game in the past.
So I see the culling. So I go up and I see this game on the screen. I'm like, that looks really familiar.
I said something to you. You guys gave me some smart-ass answer. Like, you know what that is. I'm like, no, I have absolutely no one. You're like, is that the culling? Like, what?
Yeah, I thought it was H1 for a second. Well, and I was like,
I'm looking, I'm like, this looks really familiar. And I'm just looking at the screen. And then up at the top, it says some totally weird name. Like,
dude,
not even
Steelcase or SteelSeries.
It was SteelSeries.
But the name that was up there wasn't even SteelSeries. It was some random little like side thing that they have. And I was like, what? This game is Cosiris or, you know, whatever it was. And he's like, no. He's like, it's the calling. I'm like, oh, way down here on the floor, there's a little logo below, you know, this counter here that says the calling. That's the only thing they had. So we're like, cool, well, can we interview? We didn't even know you guys were going to be here. So we got a good interview with them.
Maybe a little out of focus, but it's been a good interview.
So Nick was still learning how to use the camera, I guess.
Yes, we did.
So the first one, you want to tell what happened with the first interview?
I still don't know what happened with the first interview. Yeah. We did an interview with Hand of Fate and like the mic.
Hand of Fate too, yeah.
It's weird. Like,
we were getting sorted out. It was very
On our audio recorder, like
shorted out.
But they didn't short out. Like there's a knob to turn the volume, and it wasn't. It cuts off the audio. Probably like a quarter of an inch before it's off. Yeah. So I was adjusting the audio, and then it just like turned off, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know what I couldn't tell what was going on." But nevertheless, I'd say probably after the third interview, we were like, we had it down, right? We were quick. We got all of our gear out.
That original interview with one of the first ones, like we look at it now, and it's kind of quite in focus. The audio is really good, but it wasn't quite focused. So we may do some footage of the actual game. During parts of that to kind of take away from the fact that I'm fuzzing out like three quarters of the way through.
Yeah, but that's the thing is we were able to get the context of that stuff right. Like it really doesn't. Who gives a damn, right? What it looks like. Right? The whole point was
the information and the audio is what was important,
and that's what we were able to accomplish. It was so loud in that convention center.
If we had tried to use this microphones, first of all, open microphone.
Yeah. There's no way.
No chance. Yeah. Even the built-in camera microphone that we had.
Constantly at
max. If you look at, if you listen to the audio that thing recorded, it's just
yeah, constantly. It's just constant like white noise.
But
we
were able to, with our microphone, really focus it in, and we were able to get clear audio when feet behind where we're at is sitting there and blaring.
Yeah,
I mean, literally blaring random things.
There's esports going on behind.
Esports, we got announcers going. You can hardly hear. So we were able to pull off pretty good for what was there. Imagine those people that have those ones that are kind of
the dead cats. Yeah, and then but those work well because you think about it, it's going down, right? It's not resonating out.
So it's just a cone around.
Exactly.
The end,
So I'm actually. I mean, I don't want to toot our own horn here, but I think I was looking at some of the audio and video, like it. For us not having any experience covering a show like this before, I think it turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, and I think people are going to be genuinely
I think the community is going to be very, very excited. Well, the videos, I think they're going to turn out well once you get them, you know, intros and all put up there and cleaned up and stuff. No, I think it's really cool.
Yep.
I think it all went well. So,
So you want to tell them about your first interview experience?
Man, these guys talk me into. They're like,
No, hold on.
Okay,
so who's the person who had the most experience with that type of game?
Okay.
You scheduled the interview. You're like, let's come back at 3:00.
Yeah. But I wanted to play the game, right? I wanted to play the game.
So who would be the logical person to talk about the game?
Would
be the one who played the demo.
Anyway, so they get me over there and were like, look, you play the game. So I played the game. We got some cool footage of that. The game was lots of fun. I was super excited to play it. They've added these interesting, like, passive kind of effects to Quake, which is weird, and also super moves depending on characters. So depending on who you pick, it's not just run and gun, but it's run and gun, this character has a sonar, this character run and gun, and they have a shockwave. So there's all these other things happening, as well as passive effects. You know, some characters have slight regeneration, some can, you know, double jump, and it's... So it's really interesting. But,
so who's the first person that you talked to?
The first person I talked to, I don't remember his name, but he
Will
was... Willits.
Will Willits, yes.
No, not Willits, It's.
Dude, his last name was Willits, I don't remember his first name.
No, Will It's.
don't think so. But
whatever. Well, that's what he said. I just heard Will. So maybe that's his last name.
This guy was one of the. He had worked on Wolfenstein. He's been with
before Wolfenstein. He is one of the original guys. So we're sitting there.
He's the OG. Yeah, he's a big deal.
And I told Lance, I said, this is the most important person you've talked to in your life.
Yeah.
What happened about 15 to 30 seconds after that?
Yep, he's like, we're about to start talking. We started talking about the show, and he was like, okay, so I was like, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And this is what we're going to cover. He's like, okay, that's cool. And just as soon as Nick was like, all right, guys, we're just about set up to go, somebody comes in and says, excuse me, sir. I'm going to have to pull him. We're going to have to pull you somewhere else. I got to take him away.
So they ushered
him out of the scene, and they gave us, like, some intern. He was like, yeah, dude, this is the game. And we're like, oh, jeez. Okay, well.
So we got upshot by some guy that came with a big-ass camera. I don't know who he was with.
This show is all about the size of your camera, right?
So the size of your camera is what determines.
And then this giant fish swims up, and it's like, holy shit. And everybody just migrates.
Yeah, his name is Tim Willits.
Yes.
So Will, because he was pronouncing the last name for you, because I just heard Will.
Because I thought he was saying Wilkins.
He was saying Will, no, it's Will. And that's what
the
I heard.
Former co-owner of id Software.
That's the guy. Yeah.
And so he's talking to him.
We're talking to this guy, right? You know what I'm saying? And not realizing who he was and stuff. And we're like, yeah, we love Quake. Life is done. It's going to be great.
Oh, I'm realizing it as he's taking. Well, I've been with him. I'm like
25 years.
He starts talking about floppy disk, and Brian's like, whoa, who are you
giving? I was like, I bought your game is the first game that I ever purchased out of a catalog on a single floppy disk. Wolfenstein 3D, the first game I ever purchased, personally.
You guys are talking about like the way that like Wolfenstein wasn't like really.
Okay,
crazy.
so here's talking about Parallax.
Yeah, I was like, shut up. Who cares?
So you gotta let him know that you're on his.
That worked out really.
No, but you gotta let him know that you understand how big they are.
Right.
So I'm talking to him saying, all right, I understand that Wolfenstein 3D was not the first 3D. It wasn't actually a 3D game.
Mm-hmm.
People think it was a 3D game, but it was actually...
It was at that time.
But it was actually...
Pass off at that.
But it was actually using ray casting. It wasn't using... And he was like, yeah, it was ray casting.
It wasn't. And I was like, Parallax? And like, no.
No. He was like, he said, ray casting. Yeah.
This is the guy.
Can I get you a job?
I'm the guy behind the camera to tell our interviewer. Anyways, and I'm like, no, it's Raycast. And I said, then when you guys came out with Doom, I said, that was the first 3D. And we're like, we're going back and forth, him and I.
Yeah. There was like, you know, there were sparkles and shit in their eyes. It was like, they were really connecting.
They went out, they got a cup of coffee. It's a friendship forever.
So then they pull him.
They just straight up, his hand comes over,
he's like 23. And he's like not much older than me. And he's like, yeah, Doom's a pretty cool franchise. He's like, Quake's a pretty cool franchise. And I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, like, you're just as old as I am, so obviously you have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
So we go through, and I'm coaching Lance. Kind of like, okay, so...
You should preface this, which, like, I don't go in front of camera. Like, I'm not an interviewer. I don't be like, hey, man, what do you think about esports? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not...
So I'm trying to get him prepared so he doesn't hit that point in the interview where, like, oh, what do I go with next? So I'm like, okay.
No, the point you said not to hit was you, like, don't have dead air time. So we didn't, right?
Well, I mean, you did.
I'm just kind of saying, like, you know, here's the kind of stuff to think of towards the end, and here's a good outro. Yeah. Like, just kind of keep this in your mind so that when you hit that point, you're ready to go. So we'll have it on video.
Do you want to give him? Tune in Tuesday for at the open of the show.
No, I don't really remember what the guy was talking about because I was trying to remember his name. I was trying to remember all the shit you said. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, hold the mic here. Don't hold it right here. And then put it toward his face. So anyway, I'm trying to remember all this stuff.
So
the guy comes on. We go back and forth for like a few questions, and then I draw a blank for a second. I'm like, shit, I look over my shoulder. And
no, dude, you don't look over. You turn your whole body over your shoulder.
The middle of the interview, he turns his whole body like this. He's looking back at the computer, just kind of like he's just kind of mesmerized with the game. Like, the other guy.
I was trying to remember what the fuck I asked the guy. The other guy was like,
he's interviewing turns too. Like,
he's like, well, the game does look pretty good.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, dude, I can't stop watching this.
Yeah, so he makes a comment. He realizes this guy just turned and is just staring at the game. He's like, yeah, I realize the game does look pretty good. And he says, well, What?
We turned back. As soon as we turned back around, I was like, man, I can't think of anything. I don't want to stand here like silly ass. You know what I'm
this
saying?
Is during so, the interview.
So I was like, look, man, that's all the questions I have for you today. Thank
interview
you
over. Time. You said wait, over.
I didn't say that. Yes. Come on. Is that how it
went? I'll check it out. I'll find it right now.
Essentially, I cut it short, right? Because I goofed it up. I screwed up or whatever. And so I just was like, all right, man, well, thank you very much for coming on. And you know what I'm saying?
You did not say thank you very much
for
coming on.
No, you didn't say that. You said, well, that's all I could think of right now.
Appreciate it.
Interview over.
Alright, let's check it out.
Which is exactly why these guys should have done the damn interview like I suggested. I said, let me play the game.
I mean, it was pretty much like a mic drop. It's like,
what if it
it's like
that's what I should
have. It's like it's done.
Thanks for the shirt. Boop. We're out
drop.
Of here. Well, what about?
Oh, he actually did say you go. That's, you said that's all I got. Thanks for your time. You did say thanks.
Okay,
for
yeah, man, that's all I got. Thanks for your time. Interview over. No. Hey, this is Lance from PAX 2017. Thank you for watching.
Brian, I got a pet peeve with you all day. Then you kept saying, have a good night. And well, I was like, what are you saying?
10 o'clock in the morning, yo.
Well, but I'm thinking of when we're going to be playing these.
Yeah.
That's how jet-lagged you are.
I'm actually...
That's how jet-lagged he is from being wicked late on the whole thing, right? So
I'm actually thinking of when the show's going to be played. Like, when the... I know people will be watching on YouTube, but I'm thinking of when this is going to be played our time. That's... So I'm answering based on that. Or else, why would I say goodnight?
Then it's totally justified. What's next? What we got? It's totally justified. You're right. You're right. What was it?
No, you know what I'm saying? Like, but that's what I'm thinking is when are we going to be playing these? We're playing them at night in our podcast. So that's why I'm like, goodnight.
And it's appropriate for right now if we want to.
Because they have no idea when we're recording.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I was just fine.
I mean, but I did, the first time I did, I caught myself doing that. I'm like,
And then the second time, I'm like, oh, God damn it, I did it again.
And then I'm like, yeah, then I'm like, oh, I just did it again. But I'm thinking, because I'm so used to, like, I know we're going to play this at night. Yeah. So I'm answering based on not what time it is outside.
The end of the interview is the most... I did it really well on the Firewatch. This the end of the interview, the handshake is always good, right? It's a nice ending. Like, it's a hard end, right? You, like, reach out, you shake the guy's hand, it's like, that's it. It's over with. The end is hard because you're like, well...
You're trying to wrap it up, yeah.
All right, thanks for coming out. You know, back to the show. You're just trying to think about how to, like...
Well, how do you hand it back? Because if we play a couple of them, like, how are we... We don't want it to be constant, like, and then we're handing back to the show. Hey, that was us.
Hey, back to the show. Well, hey, that was me back at PAX East 2017 just a couple of days ago. Let's go to another interview. Hey, Nick. Thanks, Nick.
So there's not really, like, a perfect ending.
Right. So yeah. I'm still in the sign business. I'm still keeping my day job. There won't be any future, you know, like... I'm
on
top of this to go podcasting around town. You know what I'm saying? So... Anyway,
it was a lot of fun. Friday and Saturday.
This trip has been awesome.
Let's talk about the beginning of the trip.
Okay,
please,
so
yeah,
there was an issue.
Let's take this light and just shine it a little bit.
The spotlight's right here.
Yeah, let's we'll back move up.
So I text.
So let's back this up. Thursday,
it's time to get on the plane. Let's start there.
Thursday morning, I'm Thursday morning, right? I get up early, get my hair cut, shave. Like, I'm rock and rolling.
You got a haircut?
Yeah, I got my hair cut. It was much longer. I had, like, a mullet going on.
Whoa.
I shaved. I'm shaving. Like, I look at my phone, and I get a text from Brian, and he's like, I missed my flight. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I have, like, a razor in my hand. I'm like, what do I do next? Slip my throat or something? Like, what's the next course of action?
That's a bit dramatic.
I felt like I was just like, is that when you called me?
I called Brian and I was like, you're joking, right? You're like, no, I missed my flight.
So I'm like, pretty much because I was five. If I would have been there 5 minutes earlier, no problem. I hit this magic cutoff of your. I walked in exactly 20 minutes before my
flight.
Which is
way too late.
Not for Boise.
All of you have traveled, right? Everybody here is taking a plane at some point, right? You know, you get the 20 minutes, right?
15.
Dude, you show up 20 minutes early, like a reservation at a restaurant or something.
Yeah. So they pretty much, they said, no, you hit this magical. And the lady, I'm just looking at her saying, this is Boise, first of all.
I needed to tell her about that shit. I live in Boise, you live in Boise.
Well, I'm like, this is Boise. I can get through.
There are a lot of potatoes.
I can get through that. I can get through security in 10 minutes and be at the plane.
What? Oh, yeah. Dude, you... So I think the reason they have something to do with that is if they give you a ticket and then you miss your plane, like, maybe, like, you can't get refunded. Like, there's probably some, like, weird...
So that's the thing is
that,
I
right?
could have, but she wanted to sit there and argue, not really argue with me about it. Just Like, just because there was there was no arguing.
She went off the clock on
19 minutes.
She was just sitting there. She was sitting there installing me, and I'm like, if I get there right now, I can get on the plane. She's like, just no.
And I bet you were visibly distraught. I bet you were.
I am like, you don't understand. Like,
you don't. You know who I am.
Yeah.
Literally shaking. Yeah. See, Brian, what about the excuse? You didn't even think to be like, oh man, like I got like my grandmother.
I'm not
like,
gonna lie to her. I said,
Bryce, good guy, Bryce.
He doesn't work that way. You know,
dude, first thing I'd be like, oh man, like
my grandma. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, like you gotta be like oh man, like my family's all out there. Like there was an accident. Like you gotta make something. You gotta.
No,
go.
I was just very straight up with her, and I just said, if I go right now, I said every little bit that we talk about this,
and that was not how we case when you're like. You don't.
I tried to use logic with her, which was the wrong.
You're in the airport.
I tried to use logic, and I was like, every second that we argue about, or not even argue, but that we discuss this, means that I'm less likely to make my flight. I said, if I go right now, I will make my flight. It's against airport or airline policy, not even airport policy, airline policy. And I just was like, for 5 minutes, I sat there, going back and forth with her on this. I said, I could have been through security by now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I know what you're saying. I'm
like, I could have been security. I could be walking the plane. I'd still have 15 minutes to get on the plane. Do you understand?
Do you understand?
The chat thinks that there's a conspiracy in effect here, right? First off. And what happened was they were actually already booked on the plane. They didn't want you to find that out. So they turned it into
They probably had overbooked.
Here's the thing. That's exactly what happened here. It's clearly an issue.
Well, this is the thing. They may have had somebody. What do they have it on when you're waiting to like see?
Yeah, they bumped, and they probably saw that I wasn't there.
So they bumped you. Yeah.
And they probably put on a person that was sitting there.
It's probably 30 minutes beforehand. If somebody doesn't check in, somebody else will get your thing. So,
but the thing is she could have called if they.
Well, not if somebody's on the plane. They're not going to grab.
No, but I'm saying if she would have pulled it up and said, "Oh yeah, we do, your spot is still there,"
you would have been
probably,
so much.
They probably would just called and said, "Hey, he's coming through right now." He'll be there in 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, this is an airport we're talking about. But
I keep going, this is like the Boise airport.
Are you watching it too? Okay,
the globalists are conspiring
against Aldrich.
But I see,
the
but I
the reptilians.
Like, no.
But this is the thing: is I understand Boise very well. Like this was just her not wanting. This was her not wanting to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Wanting to deal with you. She could handle it like
she
that.
So there was a TSA guy right behind her when she was saying these things to me, and he looked at her and he said, "Really?" And he rolled his eyes at her. So I knew.
She needed that shit.
Yeah, he was just like, she is just, I could tell, he was just like, she's just, you know.
Brian? Say it loud in the microphone.
You know what I'm saying? But like, he knew.
No, I don't know what you said.
You know exactly what I'm saying.
Lance, will you agree with me? Brian is too nice of a person. Can we just...
To run up and be like, oh, dude, my grandma's like, he would never say that about his grandma.
That's the first place I go. Right?
Really?
If I can't get... Like, if I need to, like, get out, like, I need to get on the plane, and they're like, oh, no, you're too late. Like, you have to pull up some sob story, right? My dog's dead. Like, you gotta come up with something that's like, you gotta pull at somebody's heartstrings.
So what happens after that?
She says,
"Pax is over, right?"
So she says, "I can book you." So she books me onto the next.
Hey, like, driver to the airport.
She's like, "I can book you on a flight that's in like two and a half hours." So I get on a flight. It takes me down to San Francisco,
which is the wrong direction.
Going southwest, which is like 2 hours the wrong way. Opposite of where we're going, and then I sit there for 2 hours, or a little over 2 hours, and then they fly me here in a 6 and whatever hour flight.
Yeah, that was a long ass.
So I arrive at here. I was supposed to be here about 6 o'clock, right?
Five
something. I'm supposed to be here. I roll in after midnight.
Knock on the hotel door. Lance and I are like on our iPads and like on our phones, and there's a knock at the door.
I'm reading the comic book on the iPad and shit. I'm like, man, I gotta go to sleep.
Okay, so like, but what's going on, dude? Here was another problem in the San Francisco airport. I'm like, okay, I learned my lesson, right? You know,
we'll
find out.
I download their
app. After these messages.
I download their app, thinking this will, okay, this is supposed to be like telling me moment for moment. Plus, I learned that I can check in with the app, so I could have bypassed her altogether, gone straight through security, and probably been like, oh, you're not going to let me on the plane. I'm right here. It's still sitting there. You know what I'm saying? And actually get in there. And so I'm sitting there, and the app says I'm supposed to be at this gate. I'm sitting at that gate. I sit at that gate for 2 hours. And then it's getting really close to the time that I need to leave. I'm looking around saying, the gate still doesn't say. Like, you figure, like, they're putting different ones through, but it's getting so close that I'm getting to the point of, that's got to change really soon. And, like, that plane's got to leave really quick for my plane to get there.
Right.
And for me to get on this plane. And so I'm walking around, and I ask, I walk till I find anyone who works for the airport. I'm like, the gate says I'm supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. The plane isn't here, and I need to, like, be leaving soon. And he's like, oh, no, it's like, Dock 73.
Docks.
Whatever it is, you know, Port 73. And he's like, Dash, you go down there. And this is a huge airport. This is San Francisco.
It's SFO.
And so I'm looking, I'm like, I gotta go. So,
did you run?
No, because I'm not freaking out. Like, it's still, but you gotta remember, they closed the gate 15 minutes. That's the thing, is they closed the door to the plane. And now with the new rules, they don't open that door.
Yeah,
once it closes, 15 minutes before it leaves. And it's 20 minutes before it leaves. And I'm like, this is a problem.
Brian texts me and he's like, well, I just barely made it onto my flight.
I walk up.
Lance is already here. We're like getting dinner or something, Brian.
So I am the last person.
Done. Yeah, like we're already planning out the day. We're like, you know.
I am the last person on the flight because she didn't even look at my ticket. I walked up and she checked me in and handed me a thing with my name on it.
Like, yeah.
I was the last person, the only person not on that flight.
Yep.
I walk in, and within 5 minutes, they closed the door, and they got ready to take off. That's how close I was the second time to missing that flight.
I would have killed you.
And like, I was like...
Without a doubt.
I was like, this app is worthless.
Dude, okay, so one to error, like, one time, like, we get it. That's an accident? That would have been... flight one.
That would have been the most horrible experience.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't do that.
But to miss it back to back...
Back to back, 2 days in a row, because the next flight left 3 hours later. I would have been rolling in at least 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you would have been rolling in somewhere else at 3 o'clock. Are you sure as hell we're rolling back in your house? Yeah, exactly.
You should have slid and been like, dude, the plane blew up.
The engine went out. They had to cancel the flight. Like, I'm late, you know.
Oh, man.
And so
then what happened? So then you could get on the plane. You did get on the plane.
So I got on the plane and everything went, I mean, it went seamless after that. Like, I got to the airport.
It's a nice airport here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard. It's too big.
So from Idaho to San Francisco, from San Francisco.
Oh! All the way to Boston.
All the way to Boston.
Almost shining sea.
It was, okay, so I left, I got to the airport originally like exactly 8 o'clock in the morning, Boise time. And I got here after, you know, I got here pretty much at midnight.
Yeah, you got here like midnight or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, so it was a long day.
Is that a lesson learned? You will never miss a flight in your life. Like,
no, I learned, like, do not listen to the app. Like, sit there and...
Don't trust the computer.
Listen to your watch. Oh, it's old school, you know, those technical...
Like, I got to look at the time, I got to look at their thing on the board, and then I got to realize, okay, is there a problem? And then just not trust a single thing they say.
Yeah, well, it's actually pretty simple. It's got the screen, yeah, I'm with you.
It didn't change. Like, I didn't get up, I just sat there. I was like, okay, it says I'm at this gate, and it said that the whole time.
Dude, I know.
I don't know how everyone else knew, but no one, you know, like...
You had Nick freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, freaking out.
So, like, there's, like, mixed bag motions. At 10 o'clock, I was like, if Brian was here, I'd strangle him. This is when he told me he missed his first flight.
And then you called me, you were freaking out a little bit.
Starting
to panic.
I was like, who knows what's going to go on. He's like, I'm going to try to find another flight. I was like, Jesus.
Well, okay, so... that's the thing, is I'm talking to a lady, and I'm just like...
I have a friend. I need to go to a video game convention. This is really important.
I just said I have a conference I'm going to. I need to be there. I'm like, I need to be there.
And there's a panel. I got to be there.
Yeah, I was like, I got to be there. And, you know, okay, at least she did get me on the flight without charging me extra. Like,
that was cool of her.
She got me on a flight that got me there.
Right. Yes.
Period. Yeah. I mean, even though the plane was still sitting there for 20 minutes from when I was talking to her.
You just stare at the plane?
looking in the window. First person, blank seat. You were like, God damn it.
I mean, that's the frustrating thing. Is like, the plane is right there, and I know you can let me on, and you're a horrible person, is what I'm thinking. You are a horrible person.
And she's like, you don't plan your time very... You don't plan time correctly, because you're 40 minutes
late. That would be the best, but she's giving you, like, tips for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, next time, you know, you should really just, you know, show up 20 minutes.
And even today, Brian's like... Brent's like, oh, he's a Brent's like, oh, I'm flying at 10 o'clock tomorrow. He's like, yeah, you know, just see I'll get there. I'll leave around 9. I'm like, well, you can't leave here around 9. You need to get off your plane.
What if
it's at 10?
What if there's a fucking blizzard? I was like, you gotta go. You know?
And at this point, dude, I don't care if Brian makes it home or not. Like, I'm going home. And the PAX is over with.
I'll sit at the airport for another 12 hours.
Sit here till next year for all I care.
Eventually, I'll make it home. I'll make it. Try to make it home before Tuesday.
Yeah,
for the podcast.
You were a little concerned. You were a little concerned too because the wind on the East Coast was crazy.
Yeah. There was some weather. So I don't know what was going on.
Okay,
weather,
landing for me here.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die.
Dude, I told you what our pilot said. I told you.
Yeah, he said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like we're going in the plane. He has to. Edge it to, like, he has to turn it sideways and kind of, like, counter. Like
which is wrong. This shouldn't have to happen.
No. So the wind is blowing so hard, and he's, like, he's coming in, you're, like, you know, first of all, he's going like this coming up to the runway, and you just know, like, this is...
AD. Go, 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 go.
And you just know, like, this isn't quite right. Like, there's got to be a point where it levels out. You know, before you get to the ground, like there's got to be a point where he stops, like going back and forth. And so then, right before he gets to the end, he turns the plane sideways. So if he would have landed at that moment, the right wing would have hit the ground. Like that's how much he's turned. And then he comes down because he's fighting the wind, just trying to stay in the middle of the runway. And the last second he drops, and I was like, whoa, that was amazing.
Well, even like
I was thinking, this is a video game. Like that would have been
immersion. I feel like I was gonna die.
I was just like, if this was a video game, or like you were had a challenge to try to land that plane in a video game. I like that would have been like you would have been at the end, but like yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't even know what.
There's an old game called Top Gun where you had to land on aircraft.
Yeah.
Every time I screwed it up. I never did beat the game because I used all my lives landing.
And you know it's scary when you feel like the pilots
just
high five each other.
Just
that. Oh, dude, yeah, that's.
But like even driving here, right? So we're going I-90 heading towards Boston. And the wind, it pulled a tractor trailer right in front of me. These things are tall, man.
Yeah,
the
wind
60, 70 mile an hour gusts. It was windy as a mother on Friday.
Yeah, it was
even Thursday and Friday. And today it was just like 10 degrees out all day.
But we Heisenberg is mocking us because we're all like, oh yeah, we'll be at the restaurant in like, you know, 20 minutes or, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
How many turns do I miss before we get to the restaurant? We're
talking. We're taking wrong turns. He's like, no, that's like 30 to, you know, he's like doubling the time every time. He's like, no, that's this amount of time, Boston time. And he was right.
Boston time,
yeah.
And so he was exactly right because we got there like twice as much time. Well, first of all, because we did a couple wrong turns.
Spent $20 to park.
Yeah.
For, in like this crappy parking lot.
The day has been so crazy that was like not even a big
deal. We hit the point,
like
we hit the point of like
whatever.
$20 parking. Yeah. I don't even want to deal with anything else right now. Like, let's just pay $20 parking because I don't even want to bother like driving anymore to find a spot.
And Heisenberg was super cool, man. Like,
yeah, he held his spot.
He was like,
for
you
us.
Guys should have took the train, not the mess with
there
the train.
We go. He's saying it right now in the chat. You refuse to take the subway.
I'm from Boise. They will see the vulnerability in my face, and I will be a victim.
Vulnerability.
Blizzard outside. Just take the damn train. Okay, I told you. You know?
They'll be like, we can tell this guy.
this is one of these
things is happening to the other. This guy. He's too nice. Why is he not pissed off?
It was so cool to hang out with him, man. He was really just a cool person to hang out with. I enjoyed that.
Dude, how about these car services? Like, this is my first experience loading up an app on your phone and just having somebody show up in like 2 to 5 minutes and be like, all right, this is where you go, and just take you somewhere.
Dude, I have never used one. I mean,
I never have either.
I'm old school or whatever, but like, I would take
They probably
a taxi.
Have it down there in Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, they have them everywhere. Oh,
okay, so let's talk about, was it our first one or it was the second one? Or it was the first? Was
this
the first
was my first experience ever with
no? What was
the,
it, what, the first experience we had with what's his face?
I think we used Fastin, which is a Boston app.
No, we used them before you got here.
Yeah, because
I don't remember if that was my first experience.
But
no, it wasn't.
No, because that was leaving. That was leaving. So that was like the second experience.
We had the worst experience with the Lyft driver. We already talked about this.
Andre.
Yeah, but what was the experience that you, like, what was the app that you used the first one?
Fastin.
That was the shit.
It was. And we used it the rest of the day and it worked perfectly fine.
Yeah. Every time that one got us there without turning.
How about our last driver? I don't remember his name. Eric or something like that. He was the man.
It's just an Infection Podcast one offline.
No, I don't know. Maybe it looks like... It
says reconnecting. That's CBS.
Stream must have dropped out or something. But our driver that we had...
Will it disconnect again?
Yeah, it'll
It just reconnected.
Yeah, just connected back up.
Congratulations.
Our driver for the last trip we had, he was the man. He was like cutting people off. Both of our drivers, the one this morning and the guy in the afternoon.
Yeah.
City driving is nothing... Brian...
I don't even want to.
No, you just cut people off. You just go.
The thing is, as you said, I'm too nice.
Oh, and no,
No, go ahead. Because in Boise, it's like you alternate, take turns. Like, okay, you go, then I'll go, and then you go. Yeah, yeah. And then here, it's just like, I'm going to go there. And you cut off everybody. And it was just different. It's nothing like what...
It was different. Yeah, it was. It was definitely damn different.
It's nothing like Boise.
I swear that one guy, the old guy, was going to touch the fucking car. Like, I was sitting front right.
This was this morning, right?
Yeah, the old guy. Yeah, that was this morning. The old guy. Dude,
the turn to the convention center?
Yeah, this guy was going too slow on a right-hand turn. He went out and around this guy on the turn and turned in front of him and cut this guy off. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. He whipped around.
This is like a left turn only lane, and he's in the left turn only lane and takes a right.
Passed somebody during a turn.
Okay, so he did what that one person did to us, and we were like, "Whoa, buddy!" Like, we yelled at somebody for doing that the day before.
Yeah, and then Argan did that.
And when he did it, we're like, "Yeah, that was right. That was good."
Yeah, go, epic. So I'm trying to think. We're 20 in. What else? What other man? I don't know.
Dude, it was just interview after interview after interview.
Okay, yeah, did we ever go to? I think we kind of side skirted that question originally. What was the thing that wasn't survival related that was your favorite?
No, I didn't even think about it.
Dude, that was like 45 minutes.
Ago. Oh, I know.
We're wrapping it up.
And that's all I got. Thanks.
That's where I should drop the mic. I didn't think about it. This is the next mic. I'm just gonna pretend to drop it. Yeah.
We gotta wrap the
What was the exact question? What was it? Wrap the whole thing up.
So,
was the original question exactly?
So, what was it? Was there a thing at the conference that wasn't specific to our genre,
right?
Of survival that you found the best or the most entertaining, or like what was the highlight?
That game that we looked at.
Oh, Chronicles of Valyria.
Yes.
And we can never remember the name during the interview.
Not a great name. It's not a name
that sticks out. No. I mean, it's kind of like one of those weird names. So we first
like
run
Guild Wars, right? Guild Wars. Like it's just, it sticks out. It's Guild Wars.
Yeah.
And so Guild
Wars.
It's on the Webster dictionary.
So that's the thing is with this game, we're just passing by and it doesn't look like anything. Like, you pass by it.
And a couple guys standing outside the booth. There's, like, a video looping on the screen. It's your typical, like, PAX booth.
Really? The minimum size booth.
And thank God for Lance.
It wasn't minimum size booth.
It was actually a double.
It was a double.
Oh, yeah. But the ones I wasn't even being used. I mean, it was booths that nobody was sitting at. And it was a screen that was just showing a guy aging progression.
And thanks for our hype man who was like, yeah, man, hey, we're the Faction Podcast. And
yeah. This is what we do. It's, yeah. You know,
and so we go talk to this guy.
These are those guys. Look at the damn cars.
Wow. You know?
So we go and talk to this guy, and he is just so stoked about this game. Like, he's the hype man for this game. So he's talking about, like, this is the number whatever.
23rd
most funded game. They made 1.3 million on Kickstarter. And it just wore like, man, this... It sounds ridiculous. Like, this game is pretty much everything that you've ever thought of being in a game.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
In a game. Like, anything you could think of about being in a game is pretty much in this game, was what I gathered from it.
Let's touch on some of the big things. Like, how big was the map?
So, the map is pretty much... Okay, so...
300 square kilometers.
It's almost like, I don't want to misquote it, that's how crazy
okay,
it is.
Okay, so he said it was like 128 by 256... Which is 300 square? Like what?
Yeah, yeah. Don't say,
this is roughly so 300 say, right? kilometers squared. But he says if you take one of the cities, pretty much one of the
Skyrim,
one of the cities in his map,
yeah,
was like is equivalent Skyrims. To four Skyrims. So if you took four Skyrims, that is one of the cities.
And there's 17.
I don't know.
And there's 17 of those cities.
Shit. Because it takes a long time to walk across Skyrim. You know
so he and he's like, and he's just going into the depths. And we'll have an interview where I really ask him and say, hey, you know, he goes into this. But that game is just so gigantic. We were talking after him. Like, I don't know if they'll ever release it. I just...
It was super impressive. Like, it's not my, it's not necessarily my style of
game. If you're looking for something to consume your life.
Yeah. Well, and Eisenberg said it's going to take him 42 years to make it. But
if you were ever stuck in a hospital and you're no good, you're going to be in a hospital bed for the next year.
Try the next, like,
well, I'm saying, years. Let's just say you know you have a year minimum in a hospital bed. I would say, give me Chronicles of Elyria.
Give me nothing else but Chronicles of
Elyria. Yeah. Leave me alone, because, you know, by the time my toenails will be curling over, you know, and I'm in this hospital bed. But that's this game.
But this guy was super excited. This was the guy. He's like, man, I've been actually developing these games for like 15 years.
He put in $500,000 in of his own money.
That's what he said.
He said he sold everything he had. But maybe he got some, you know, you never know what he did to get that.
That's true. Okay, so the guy basically was like, dude, I've got like $500,000 invested in this in the lifespan of this project. And we're like, wow, that's crazy. How did you just had $500,000 chilling to put toward a video
that's
game?
Exactly what
that's exactly
said.
What I said. He was like, no, you don't understand. I sold my house. I sold all my land. I sold everything that I've ever had, and I dumped it into this game. That's how legit this is. I'm serious. I'm all in. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And some of the big things he had were natural age progression, right? So, and the longer your character is alive, the older they look. We're talking wrinkles, not just long hair. They actually liver spots. You get damn old, right?
Yeah.
And every day in the game, every week, what was the time progression?
52.
So it was 30,000 kilometers squared.
Yeah, that's what it was. 30,000.
So it was 30,000 kilometers. So it's 128 by 256.
Man, breaking out the calculator. Thanks,
yeah,
man.
But that is still.
Yeah.
I mean, 300,000, it doesn't matter at that
that's
point.
That's an insane map.
He said it is bigger than the United States.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
And it looked like Witcher or something, like, for the perspective from over the shoulder, you know what I mean, and walking around. And one of the cool things that I thought was really awesome is when you log out of the game, you don't just disappear. Your character doesn't go to sleep like Ark, and you don't just, you know, somebody kill you in your sleep. When you log out, depending on your settings and what you've done with your character, how you've developed your person, they go into an NPC state. So if you're a merchant and you're playing the game all day and you gotta, you know, log out, when you log out, your character goes back to the merchant booth. Now they're an NPC for other players to come up and interact with. So when you log on later, you can review all your sales, who you've been dealing with, how much money you've made. You might be a farmer, right? So when you go NPC, when you've logged off, you're out there raking potatoes. The second part is potatoes, yeah. Right? Yeah. So you're doing the farming stuff. I don't know, the hoe.
Yeah, dig them.
Dig them potatoes. You know, you're out there doing all your stuff. So it was really interesting, some of the stuff that the guy wanted to put in here. He had a lot of interesting, unique mechanics.
Yeah.
I personally don't know if he can get all that shit together and put it in a package and get it to us. So
I agree.
Play it. It felt way over ambitious for the amount of people that were representing it. But, man, he has got a really cool concept. It's everything that we thought would be neat, all rolled into one.
Yeah.
Even the time frame. I forget what the time frame was.
Okay, so he said
exactly,
this is all in the interview, so I'm going to lightly touch on this
so that we don't get the whole thing. Sure.
I mean, we can just play back the interview right now. But he said that one lifespan in this, so you actually, you have a character that lasts a certain amount of time. It's actually 52 weeks
real world
time.
Right.
That your character stays alive. Mm-hmm. And so your character keeps doing things, so, you know, you try to accomplish as much as possible in that 52 weeks, and then, you know, you get another character.
And you start a new character, right?
Yep. So, and we'll go more into that in the actual...
Yeah.
It's not permadeath, though. There's a system to it, but it'll come out, you know, when you guys can watch the interview. Right?
And that was the most impressive thing we saw that wasn't in our genre.
Impressive? Yeah, that was...
If that's possible. If it's accurate.
I hope he does. That'll raise the bar.
It appears that the income is there.
$2 million?
But when you get that kind of money, you hire resources and you say, let's get this shit done. We're on the fast track now, man. We're setting a date. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would think. But anyway, so what else was there at the show that was really, really cool that you guys like? I mean, we saw a tremendous amount of cosplay. I really tried to keep everybody up to date on all the cool stuff.
Yeah,
we saw.
You were solid with the tweeters.
I was trying to do the tweeter hashtag ampersand whatever.
Nick taught him what a hashtag was and how to actually direct message somebody pretty much.
And how to follow people.
That was one of the first things he said to me. I pick him up at the airport with Jake, and we're like driving. He's like, man, how does this Twitter thing work? What's a hashtag?
No. I know what it is. I didn't know how.
And Jake's like,
Jake's like,
are you kidding?
What's the difference between an at symbol and a hash? symbol. And we're just like, wait a minute.
Well, no, I don't know the context to use it in. Like, should it go, like, where should it go? After the shit you said?
Yeah, typically after.
Can you put a space in it? Does that fuck it up?
No,
no
space.
Just a long time ago, one word. I just didn't care. I just didn't give a shit. I'm sorry. But anyway, and I'm following you guys on Twitter.
As of today, we got another follower on Twitter. Yeah. So
that was good. That came from the show.
Yeah, we got one new follower from the show. So thanks for giving us all this money to go to PAX East.
It was a good follower. It was a good guy. He's a good guy. You know,
yeah.
So.
And of course, again, and I'm not being sarcastic, thanks to everybody that made this trip possible. It completely covered our hotel room.
It was
a
super cool experience. Yeah absolutely. Everybody here worked really, really hard to bring all the content back, because that's really what you guys wanted to see. Is, damn it, somebody go to PAX and check this shit out and bring it back to us.
Because
clean it up and bring it back, and that's what we tried to do. And I think that you guys knocked all the interviews out of the park. It was awesome. Technically, everything went well. I thought it was a success. So. Well,
and that's the thing is, like, you go on like IGN's website for PAX coverage, you're not gonna see the Darwin Project. Like,
yeah.
Big future. Okay, so you're not gonna see this stuff.
This is
that's
thing.
A damn shame, dude. Yeah, because, man. Dude, there was some cool stuff in there. Even down to like the waist deep snow when you trudged through it, it showed like path. You could be like, and somebody just came through here. It was just neat. I just liked it.
Yeah.
The where were they from? Germany? They spoke.
I think so. But that's the thing is you look at you
somewhere that is not here.
So this made me realize a lot of the media that's there. We didn't see them interviewing anyone other than
cameras.
We didn't see them interviewing anyone other than the big players. Yep. They could care less about the little guys. And like, that's what we want to find, the people that are up and coming, like the Darwin Project.
Yep.
That is an up and coming thing that I think a year from now will be a common name. Well, maybe another name.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
You know, if they name it something else. But I think it's going to be a well known title that you'll go onto Steam and you'll be like, this is this game. Like, everybody knows
Dude,
what
I
it is.
I hope it comes out on Steam. That would be an awesome Friday night game of the week. That
would it
be
would
so
be perfect.
Cool.
It would be, and that's the thing is, that type of game, if we wouldn't have been there, we would have never known that it existed before, you know? And so, and then we go in the press room, and it's like half the people at the press are just sitting there. We go, and when we do an interview with Bethesda, like, there's a person, the guy who bumped us, pretty much from that interview, he goes up and they say to him, do you want to play the game? You know, before you do the interview, do you want to try it out? He's like, no. And he's just like, I just want to do the interview. It's like he just wanted to do the interview and get out of there. He could care less about the game itself. He wanted to get the B-roll. He wanted to get the video of the interview. Right. Ask whatever pre-made questions that probably don't change based on whatever the guy's answering him.
Yeah.
First of all,
I thought that was a little
because if he doesn't even know what the game is about, like if he doesn't even know what's in there, how is he going to even customize his interview to say, hey, you know, I really like this feature, or what is this part of the game, or here was my experience, you know. What am I seeing? There was nothing like that.
And that's the problem, right? It's like these big guys, and it's not their fault, right? IGN and GameStop,
they got a quota.
But here's the thing: they need to cover the big guys because that's what people
Nintendo,
really care about, right?
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah, I know,
dude. Like,
I get it.
Right, the Darwin Project is cool and all, but check out Nintendo's booth, man. Check out Twitch's booth. Look at the
Bethesda
booth.
They're going for what's going to make the biggest splash.
Yeah, right? Man.
Nintendo's booth was all about the Switch. And
we didn't even have a chance to really check that. It was set up weird.
Okay, so I look at it as all those things that everybody's going to cover, why would we want to, you know, what's the point of really trying just to go and get another copy of that interview? They've probably been interviewed so many times where when we sat down with the Darwin Project, just seeing the light in their eyes of, you know, these guys are giving us attention.
Yep.
And
everybody was
super excited. And them being so friendly about it. Where when if we would have gone to like okay the guy at Bethesda was very nice, right?
Yeah, the first guy was
professional.
Awesome. Yeah.
The first guy was very nice. Everybody was very professional. But you just know that once you get to the big guys, they're just looking at, all right, how big is your camera?
Yep.
You know, how much are you going to benefit us? Okay, we had some people that were so much on the clock that
specifically
like
specifically the whatchamacallit guy.
Which one
Frontier?
Was that?
Frontier. Yeah, but that was they were getting ready to do a live stream, and I think that guy was in the live stream, so maybe that. But
so that's the thing
that
really dangerous. Like, they were giving me exact two. You have exactly 2 minutes from this point. Like,
he said, "I'll tap you on the shoulder when it's time to go. You gotta let him go." And I was like.
And I didn't want to be embarrassed of like feeling like, oh, they're cutting us off. We got to go. So like I was trying to time it in my head. Okay, he's like, you have exactly 2 minutes. And so I'm trying to roll this through my head and like keep.
We should have been queuing you a little bit, but either way. Yeah.
Whatever. You know, I'm just.
This was the queue.
I mean, they gave me 2 minutes, and so I'm just kind of thinking, like, I want to feel like we wrap this up in a very...
That's all I got.
That's all I got. Oh, we're out of time, folks. See ya.
That's what I should have said.
But, you know,
we're out of time. That's what you should have said.
But you have
what
some...
What the fuck are you talking
about? We've got to run. We're out of time. All right, thanks.
You have a couple guys that are sitting there, and just, like, there was only a couple that were like that.
No, yeah, a couple. There was, like, one. One or two. Elite Dangerous?
There was one. Okay, so... Okay.
It was the only one that queued you on.
Okay,
time.
Okay. So yeah. The Elite Dangerous...
And Conan, like, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, because they were sent over some big shit. They were doing
but Battlegrounds, she was treating us... Okay, but respectfully, she was treating us like she would treat the biggest. She's like, you have exactly this amount of time. She was very on top.
We had a time limit with Battlegrounds?
Yeah, well, I think so, but...
She didn't know what... I think when she saw how comfortable we were with him and hearing, I think she going into it was like... You need to do it in this amount of time. But then when she saw that he was like, yeah, I watch your show. And well,
yeah.
Like, she just let it go.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a time. But yeah, I didn't notice. She was gone when I was
a fan of the show.
Yeah, a big fan of the show. Yeah. Anyways, I think once that interviewer started to go and she could hear that, like, he didn't feel like he was being kind of pinned on it or, you know, like, forced.
Somebody actually gave a shit about his game. And it wasn't just, like, some bullshit interview.
Somebody who respected it.
Because the other ones, I think they're like, well, you need to get out of here.
I wasn't fanboying him. But I was like, I was totally, but I was totally like, dude, we played your game. What? There's nothing bad to say. Your game is freaking awesome. There's nothing to complain about. Like, that's that. And I, part of that where it's like, what's he going to say?
Yeah,
and it's a good game.
It was also like, it wasn't just, you know, our personal opinion. It's like, dude, we have a whole community.
Yeah.
We rallied together on, like, Friday
even
nights.
Online,
and we said, look,
dude,
we gave out, you know, that guy is the same guy who gave you all the keys.
Yeah, he gave us,
man,
like, 50,
I mean,
50-something
really
keys.
Really sponsoring, or... you know, this community with this game. You know?
I think the second that she saw that, she kind of was like, okay, you know, this isn't one where I have to be like, okay, you guys are wasting this time. You're going to get out of here.
Yeah, because she didn't know, right?
No, she doesn't know going into it. She just knows we're Infection Podcast. But I think when she listened to the interview, then she kind of backed, and I saw her body language totally change.
Yeah.
To where she kind of relaxed, because I think she was like a manager.
Yeah, but she does not work for him. Like,
she's a PR company.
She is the PR company, but she
the same one.
But she's a PR company for art.
They're big.
So she is, like, probably one of the top. You know, the fact that she's come here and they do
her. She was on top of her game.
She's probably one of the top people in it. And so she knows you have exact... Because that's what she said.
If I have
you,
I didn't even hear that.
No, because I heard
she
it.
She was so Johnny on the spot with everything.
Yeah, she was like, you have this exactly this amount of time.
Yeah.
And then she was watching. Like, she was sitting there on the side initially watching. And then the second that she saw how he was with us, which was great. Like, you'll see in the interview... Very open. He was very incredibly nice.
Super. Yeah,
then I felt like we could have pushed it even more, but I think we ended the interview in the perfect amount of time.
Yep.
To where she didn't feel like we were abusing their time. We got everything, you know, into the interview that we wanted, and it ended really well.
Yep.
And she didn't come in like coming up, you know, coming tapping her watch or anything.
No, she wasn't. No,
It was very good. Conan was the other one, but it was only because the timing of it. Like, he was doing a live stream.
Yeah,
exactly at a certain time. So, you know, it's not that they stopped us.
Yeah, he was like, "Oh, I only have 50 minutes." And I was like, "I don't need you more than 5."
We probably did 10, maybe.
And we know who he was. Kind of Jens Erik was kind of like hanging out beforehand, and because we'd already talked to him. We
were gabbing with him for a while.
He knows my name because he's been on the damn.
Yeah, we introduced ourselves on Friday. He knew we were coming back, so I wasn't like, "Hey, we need to get an interview. I was like, "What? Like, he'll just come over and give us one." Like, it really wasn't a big deal. And that was the nice thing with that interview was, like all the other ones, Brian. It was like, "Hey, I never really talked to you before." He like, "Here, let's talk about your game." With him, I was like, "Hey, man, like we talked to him for like an hour and a half."
He blanked out.
We did the original.
You can tell he's had a long weekend because he blanked out for a second there. Like, he told it after.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, totally." He's like, "I know what the hell you're talking about."
Sorry, what the fuck are you talking about? Whoa, what?
Yeah, he blanked out for a second.
Yeah.
But he was so comfortable with us, he was able to say that.
Yeah.
He didn't make an excuse. He's like, "Dude,
no, it's not an excuse."
I
didn't sleep, but that's not an excuse.
It's like 2 days. I'm like, oh,
no. That's the thing is, he was just like, he was so open with it. He was like, "Dude, I just kind of blanked out for a second there."
You can see, dude, everybody there has been like, you know, they all look tired.
Yeah,
tomorrow's got to be a rough day for people. If we were doing tomorrow, we'd be like zombies. We probably wouldn't go until noon or something.
Yeah, it'd be rough, but.
We are very sleep deprived. We're probably running out about 8 hours of sleep over the past 2 days.
Yeah, and like I feel like I'm just waking up at 4:30 in the morning every day.
Well, it's just been wicked late. Like you look at the clock, it's like, dude,
it's 3 a.m. our time.
Dude, we gotta put all these, turn all this shit off. We gotta get to sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, but the show was great. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Had a good time. I thought we got a lot of good content captured. I'm really excited to see it all come together and come back. Definitely. And I want to see what everybody says about it. Yeah, I'd love to do this again.
For sure.
If the opportunity presents itself, I would love to, you know.
Yeah, and hope maybe we can find some other way to make this happen with the kind of the crowdfunding model, because that seemed to work for next year. Because maybe we could offer the next level of stuff. And now we have the experience, right? Now we have the ins. Now we have the connections. Have a tripod.
That's not gonna fall apart.
Yeah, but like, it's nice that we have. Like, I think you were saying it today, Lance. We were walking around, you're like, man, we come back here next year and the year after.
Well, they start to see your faces right there.
Like, you guys are the faces of the car.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is those guys that are with the bigger companies, like riding for them, mm-hmm. those guys are not going to be back again. Like those guys are probably just riding for a little while. They'll never see their faces again.
Yeah, it was...
Like we go in and we talk to these people.
Because we talked to the people we cared about, right? We weren't just doing interviews to be like, hey.
We need to fit a quota.
Yeah, Brian, we need to do 10 interviews today. Let's just find 10 booths. We searched out all these people before and we scheduled time. We had 9 or 7 scheduled interviews the weeks in advance. Like we had all this stuff planned out because we genuinely cared.
So now I was actually, when we were sitting there and... in the press room, sitting there, I was actually listening to the people next to us because mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of get. I was trying to absorb their.
He's about the four guys that we're talking about. Yeah, the three
to the right of us.
Oh no,
no, no! No, like
when we first got in there.
Yeah. There. Okay. So because I wanted to kind of hear like what do they think about this? Like, what is their perspective? You know, they're just like do they care about it?
Yeah.
And so they're sitting there talking, and they're just talking about how this one guy, you know, he didn't go and get his numbers. Pretty much. He didn't go in and get, you know, he didn't get as many interviews for the days he was supposed to, and it was all about numbers for them.
Because it's all about money. See, that's the nice thing about us, right? And I was on a show called Streaming Idiots Wednesday before PAX, and we were talking about money, and I was like, from day one, Brian and I made it very clear, we have no interest in making this a job.
Yeah, making money on the like, I mean, we haven't made any money.
Yeah, like and that was never our goal. So when we're going,
the money sits in PayPal,
and now it's
and
all
then
gone.
It got transferred to the pay for this hotel,
and now it's gone.
All the money for our whole podcasting career is gone.
We probably have negative money in PayPal now because that outrageous Lyft charge that we had. Yeah. But like because of that, we're only doing this because there's passion, right? There's nothing. There's no money driving me.
And you know what? I think that's why the community backs you guys as hard as they do, because they see that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You guys generally give a shit about the product, you know? And also, when we're at the show, talking to the people, they pick up on that. Like, they just know. They know that you're asking questions that they can see you give a shit about it. You know?
We're not checking off a box with a question.
Right, yeah. It wasn't some prepackaged bunch of stuff. When they asked about a mechanic, you guys pushed to go deeper into about that mechanic. And they responded like that guy, and y'all were just like going off on stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, so...
I thought we were going to have to pull you away from Products of Illyria. No shit. Like, I was like, dude, I think maybe you should have done that interview because Brian was going off with this guy. Like, y'all were super serious about it. And they love that, man, because they don't get that.
Well, okay, you know? So that guy had passion.
Imagine how many people... Yeah, they were here, and they take a picture.
Imagine if one of those guys would have come and interviewed that guy. They would have not realized the passion in him and tried to return that passion.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or they come back after he's big or something like that. And you're like,
they'll be like, okay, well, when you release, let us know, and we'll write.
Oh, you're not going to give us a copyright? Okay, well, yeah, whatever.
Another one that I really noticed that with was Elite Dangerous. Just the fact, he said, well, have you played the game? I said, yeah.
He was like, dude, I bought a Cytec X52 Pro. What do you mean? You know what I mean? He was like, whoa.
That was all the thing is he asked. He was like, have you played the game? I'm like, yeah, dude, I played the game.
Yeah,
and I started going. I said, well, I
made him buy the game.
That's the thing that I usually try to do is then give them a little bit of, here's some proof to back up that I know.
Yeah.
You know, not that I'm just saying, oh, yeah, I played the game.
Yeah.
You know, but
we started talking peripherals and talking about joysticks. He was like, oh, yeah.
And I started talking about version numbers and specific things. So in 1.2, you released.
And he was on board then.
And the second he was like, so you know about the version numbers, you know about what we added in each one. You know, and at that point, Like, he was instantly in.
The switch...
You can see it, man.
It goes from general PR to...
He's going from, let's just talk about this game.
PR to conversation. That's the difference.
So then we started talking, and, like, that really opened up. And I felt like we had another... We had one at the very end where it was this guy who had a game, and we couldn't really tell exactly what the game was. You know, it looked like a side-scroller game. And I started out the not even really an interview. We're just talking, and I said, "Okay, so what's the genre?" And he says, "What are you going to ask me a BS question like that?" I'm like, "I'm just trying."
I looked at you. I was like, "What is he talking about? Like, what genre is this game, dude?"
And he was being like dead serious.
Oh, he was dead serious.
Shooter, like, what do you got here?
No, I'm not. The thing is like when I say genre, I'm not saying is this first person shooter. I want to know specifically.
Yeah.
In this game, like, what are the mechanics of this game that make it?
But then he said he was started talking about the engine and stuff to, you know, kind of probe back. And when you start calling out versions of the engine and the release and the updates and stuff, he was like, "Whoa!"
So he switched, so on board that he was cool. He started out kind of pissed at me, and it sounded like he was a little bit pissed when I asked that first question.
He was salty about it.
I just kind of threw me back because I didn't have anybody else.
Maybe he missed a flight or something. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd make me grouchy as shit.
But he snapped at me a little bit.
Interviews or something.
Yeah, he snapped at me, and then I was like, okay, rather than just go like, you know, come back at this guy.
I thought it was cool that you didn't just like pop back at him. You know what I'm saying? You were like, well, look, man, you know, and then everything came
full. Yeah, and then I said it was okay. So I can see it's a side scroller. You know. But, you know, are there any 3D elements? And then we got into talking about Unreal version numbers. Yeah. And then the second that happened, he's like, this guy knows that, you know, it's like, well, okay, you know, you're on 4.15. Because he said Unreal.
Yeah, rolled over 4.15 yet?
He was like, we're on Unreal. I said, well, what version of Unreal? Like, 4.12. And you haven't rolled over 4.15? You know, and then we went into, and he's like, okay, well, wait a minute here.
Yeah.
He backed him, checked himself, because he first started out like I'm softball. No, I'm just trying not to, like, smack him in the face with the first question.
But all, you know, I really like this game. And we're like, dude,
but it ended up being a very,
and he was like,
this was a cool concept. And I think we'll follow up. We didn't record that one.
I don't know why that game
comes out. But it looks like a fun game to sit and play for, you know, to play it through. And so we'll have to see on that one. Like, we got a lot of cards.
What was it called?
I don't remember. I'd have to look at the card. We actually got a flyer.
Yeah. But essentially, the concept of the game was there was something that happened, and you got shot in there into space, and the whole thing is you're just trying to get home. And there are all these different ways you can do that, you know, so you're actually flying through space. It's a space simulator kind of game, and you have to stop and get resources and stuff. He said, all in all, it was like an 8 or 10 hour game. Like, it was a long thing. But, and it's one player, but you can just, like, get it, enjoy it, beat it, and you're done. And
yeah, so you get really stranded out far away in space, and your goal is to get back to Earth successfully and live. And so you're trying to get as much of your crew back, and it seemed like a really interesting concept to kind of...
Like Star Trek Voyager from my Trekkie fans.
Yeah, to kind of do it in different ways to try to bring it back. And there are other features that maybe we'll get into later because this is
not the time. Yeah, so we're hitting our 2 hour record limit here on our devices. So Lance, thanks for coming out here. Thanks for being our hype man.
And this is actually a literal
two hour limit.
No, seriously, thanks for you made all of our merch. We got the mic flags, we got stickers, the dog tags, we got all that merch.
Mm-hmm. I kept PHVCK updated on everything was going on. Of course. Saul, all the guys.
You were our community.
I told him multiple times.
Matt, I got to keep Matt up to date on the pictures of the cosplay. And they needed to know these things, and you weren't able to cover it because we're so busy.
And that's the thing. I said this today to Brian. I said, if Lance was not here, we would have been screwed.
Been a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Well, because...
Who would have carried the backpack?
And that's the thing is like it was either me doing the interview or Brian doing the interview, and the other person would have been
stuck.
It wasn't
fucking Lance doing the
interview. Well, it was, but
guys. It was not Lance doing the fucking interview.
So it would have been a colossal pain in the ass. So thank you so much for coming here. Thank you for doing all the mercy you're doing and doing all the stuff
you're
doing
for Infection.
Now one thing we kept seeing all these visual novels and different things like that. I kept telling Lance to send pictures for PH and Joe, but I don't think he did it.
Not of some of that stuff, dude. I don't need all some of that stuff on my phone. You know
I was like, this is the kind of stuff they're like, Lance, you could send them pictures.
My wife's like, show me some pictures. And I'm like, pull them out of the TV. Whoops. I'm like, whoa, not that one. That's for Joe. Who's Joe? No, it's fucking...
Don't worry about it. Next question. It was Australia. All right, closing statements.
Yeah, because this time we have a real limit. Because this recorder will go for exactly 2 hours.
I'm sending you guys some awesome cosplay right now. Go to Discord, check it out.
Usually we go for 2 hours and, you know, we don't have a real limit. But this one, the recorder's actually going to stop at 2 hours.
It appears so, yes.
We think. We haven't actually...
There's a bar filling up and it is...
There's a bar filling up and it's on the verge.
Something that, I don't know what that means.
It'll probably split to a new file. Who knows? So, we're going to wrap it up here. We got to do another PAX, right? Like, if possible. If infection is still around, which we're hoping it is...
Why would infection be around? What do you mean?
Who knows what the next year is going to bring, man?
Well, and that's the thing is if we can plan it out way beforehand. I mean, we did that for this one.
Yeah, we did.
But we could just say, hey, you know, let's just do things throughout that period of time up until so we can try to raise the funds to do
it. And the cool thing with PAX next year is it's in April, so it's a month later.
It'll be warmer.
Well, it might be a little bit warmer. That's no guarantee. So so we'll see what happens with that. Again, thanks to all of our...
The intro could be warmer. It's 12 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's freezing. Cold out.
Literally 12, 1, 2.
Yeah, it's the Northeast, man. It's 12 degrees out. Again, thanks to everybody that made this trip possible, that funded during either Brian's No Shave November beard campaign, or just dropped us some money throughout...
You should laugh about that.
I'm sorry.
Or dropped us some money just throughout... since, you know, October, whenever we announced we were doing this trip. So I think that is going to do it. Lance, thank you so much. Brian,
dude, thanks for having me.
It was nice to finally meet you in person. Brian, same as well. It's going to be weird doing the show next week.
Well, and, that's the thing is we've...
got some really good clips. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is we've... A lot of people who have known us for a while know this, but we've known each other for a while as far as online.
6 years or so, five, six years.
Nick was a little boy.
Yeah, I was like
on the internet when I met
him. I was like 13 years old or something.
That sounds crazy. Are we still on you?
Cut the fade.
Wait, but that's
so start writing that out.
But that's the thing.
I need a lawyer.
But that's the thing is we've known each other a long time. And, you know, and just over all that amount of time, you just never expect, oh, I'm going to go and meet this person across the country.
No.
You know, and it wasn't weird. It was very natural because we've known each other for so long. And the same thing with Lance.
We instantly clicked, right? Like, right away.
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't one of those things where you get in here and be like, oh, now I'm going to have to stay in this hotel room.
We're all just, like, standing like,
this is weird.
Yeah. So, it was a lot of fun. Hope everybody enjoyed it. We'll be bringing you the coverage of PAX East over the next... It's probably going to be over the next 3 weeks, ideally, on the show.
Yeah, because we don't want to have it just be fully clips. But we want to put some good ones in there.
Exactly. We have a week's worth of news, so maybe we'll do half news, half PAX, and maybe we'll do that for a couple of weeks. We actually have Nelson from Miscreated... Nelson from Unturned.
On the 27th?
27th or something around like that. Coming on the show. It's either the...
Oh, you don't answer that.
Yeah, it's the 27th. 20th or the 27th. So we'll see what happens with that.
We did not find Daybreak.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Daybreak. Damn it. Daybreak said that they were going to be here giving away some stupid horse masks.
Just from following their Twitter and the fact that we had walked up and down every aisle of that place within a certain amount of time, I feel like they never really entered other than walking to one of the streamers' booths, handing some tickets to a streamer and saying when someone comes and they'll come and get these from you, and then leaving and going back to a bar or wherever they went. I think I don't think they actually walked up and down.
Go check out their Twitter and look through it.
You will see. They left tickets at bars. They left tickets by plants out in the outer area.
Yeah, they were hiding them around places so that people had like Easter.
And that was kind of cool. Like that's geocaching kind of.
Yeah.
But we don't want to waste our time running around chasing.
Oh, I'm sure as hell not chasing to get a stupid mask.
But
I mean, I can guarantee that
we would have seen them if they were walking.
I really wanted
higher quantities though. They should have been on the floor mingling with their audience.
I tweeted them a couple of times. I really just wanted to get a picture with Daybreak because that's what brought this entire community together. And I was pretty bummed that, like...
They wouldn't even take the time.
Yeah, I'm pretty bummed that...
I mean, that's pretty much where it always comes down to.
Well, they're huge in this genre. The genre's...
Yeah.
They got this going, you know.
It was just a little lame that I couldn't even get. Like, I tweeted, like, multiple times, tweeted both of them. Just like, hey, Mike, we just got a picture. We think that would be cool.
They don't want to deal with it, dude.
I guess not. And that's just kind of lame. So, yeah.
And it just kind of shows you. I mean, that's what we've learned about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it is.
All right. Well, on that note, we are going.
We're done talking about that. We're done.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. You can go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. We'll be back to normal shows every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. Guys, that's going to do it for another episode of Infection. We'll see you next time.
Have a good night.
Later, guys.